Who's afraid of summer?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
And here we go, 6:12 now, and this is Steve Cochran. I am the Steve Cochran Show host. To my right is Justin, over there's Dave, there's Mary Sandberg, that's Mary Vandeveld in traffic. Steve Grzanich is in the newsroom. And Super Joe and Pete are producing the show.
Good morning.
And that's all we have time for.
Wow,
that's
we it. Never get introduced like that. That was amazing.
That's all we have time for. That takes the entire show.
I would have walk-up music.
What's your walk-up music?
Now presenting.
It'd be something like a Jose Abreu song. Something maybe Latin-flavored that you can't really pick out.
Well, that would be my music, I guess, to walk out to, or the old theme. Dave, right. What would you walk out to? Walk up. You got called from the bullpen.
I think it would be trumpets.
just
trumpets.
Ba, 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 ba.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought you meant there's a song called Trumpets by, you know it, Justin. He's a pop star.
Hang on. No, you went too deep. No, you went too deep.
Yeah. I just meant regular.
Jason Derulo.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Right. What Chamber? Would you do, Mary? What would be? Thomas Rhett.
You just got a call Tom from Rhett. The bullpen. What's the music we're going to play when you're coming out to do the
Mama
show?
Mama said knock you out.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's a good
it's
one.
Solid.
That's good.
It's very good. That's one of the great lyrical masterpieces.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
LL Cool J.
I'd like to be introduced by the Oscar lady and have like that grand orchestra play me up onto the stage. That'd be cool.
But wouldn't you want her to tease you first, like coming up?
Coming up.
Yeah.
Coming up,
an introduction of Steve Grzanich.
And what would they play you off when you walk the bases loaded?
Oh, boy.
Wah, wah, wah.
That's probably it. Wah, wah, wah.
How about you, Vandeveld?
Oh, it'd have to be something fast like Footloose or something. That's crazy.
Swing in the 80s, baby.
Yeah, got to go 80s.
Super Joe?
Mine would be Eminem Till I Collapse. Not that I've had this conversation before. Or
you have thought about it, yeah. Clearly have. And Pete? Does Pete have one?
It's probably like Illinois or one of his...
Sufjan Stevens.
Yeah, somebody with
Too Many
bang.
To Choose From.
Yeah.
Too Many to Choose From. I don't know the song.
It'd be someone... Yeah,
that must
like
be new.
Steady.
Coming up on this show today...
Do you have one, Steve?
The one we play at the top
oh,
of the show.
That's the one.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Or the old theme. Do you remember the old theme?
I don't remember the old thing.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. No, that's the Muppets. on the show today, Donald Trump's going to call. Dean will be on. Ro will be on later. We'll do a swap meet. We got a lot to do. Why don't we just see the top six right now? Come on, let's get it started right now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Let's go live now to Sandberg with this important thing.
We're lucky that Pete and I are even here today.
Uh-oh.
What happened?
I picked Pete up this morning again because it was cold, day three of picking him up. And in the time that it took for him to walk to the gate to my car, which is maybe 3 seconds, a pickup truck pulled up behind us. And he lives in one of those neighborhoods where you can't get by.
Yeah,
people park on both sides. And he brought his car right up to my bumper and was screaming from his car, like, move. And Pete came with his backpack and his little bag of records. And
little bag of records.
Pete started. He carries a bag of records because he goes to Chirp Radio after. Pete started screaming at the guy behind me.
Why was his guy screaming?
Because he was impatient, but it was really 3 seconds. It wasn't very long.
But
I was scared.
You pulled up to pick him up.
Yeah.
Were you blocking a lane?
You can't. It's one of those Chicago neighborhoods. You have to block the road. Yeah. You can't not.
So
block
what part
it.
Of I'm picking this guy up did he not?
I mean,
understand?
He was walking out. It was seconds. But Pete. Pete is really mild and quiet until he's not. And
so
then
did
it's,
you go all Bernard Goetz on him? Was that the thing?
Oh,
like
yeah.
You just flipped out?
That's not flipping out. I would have done the same thing.
Yeah. My adrenaline was pumping.
Unreasonable needs to be responded to with unreasonable.
I mean, if he would have gotten out of the truck, I probably would have jumped in Mary's truck and said, go, 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 go.
Right.
Did you throw a record at him?
No, I didn't. But, yeah, it was... Mary, when she picks me up, she texts me a few minutes before to say my Uber is arriving now. And so I go out to meet her, and I saw her approaching. So I kind of pretty much met her almost at the exact time that she stopped in front of my house. And there was a car, an impatient truck behind, and was revving the
engine. Yeah.
Like a Ford commercial.
Yeah. 5 in the morning.
Yeah. And I could hear him yelling through his car. Oh, like, wow. So I was like, hey, buddy.
Yeah. with his backpack.
Wait, you gave him the hey, buddy with the backpack?
I'm like, little bag of records. We got something going on here.
He's wearing a jacket with a fur hood, a backpack, and a bag of records.
That guy's lucky to be alive.
And then the crazy thing is he backed up and went down a different street.
He did?
And then we met up at, is it Broadway in Hollywood or whatever that is?
And that's when Pete got out with a shotgun.
That's where you both looked down and did not look.
No,
at the next
he ended up behind us.
Oh,
so we beat him. Yeah. But then he revved on Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah.
He pulled out and went crazy.
Road rage.
But it was scary. It made my stomach hurt.
Oh.
I have an abbreviated version of a similar story, but I think it ends with a laugh because a woman cut me off on a Saturday morning crossing town here. And pulled in front of me because apparently in my giant SUV, I lurched into her lane and she thought that I needed to be taught a lesson. She started screaming at me. And I told her to calm down. And I apologized for whatever she was confused about. And I told her to calm down a second time. And she said, I'm going to call the police. And she held the phone up. And I said, look.
For you cutting her off in traffic?
Yeah. And I said, look, I understand he's not going to leave his wife, but at least you got the car. And she and she screamed at me, got in the car, and took off.
Yeah. Wow.
So I believe
I was psychic.
You
cut to the quick.
Next, sassy. The government's reporting that 76,000 migrants came across the southern border in the month of February. That's a new record. It's up double from last year at this time. The highest number of unauthorized immigration in 11 years, which you would think would support the need for a wall. In fact, it supports the fact that we have a problem at the southern border, which no one in their right mind has ever denied, that needs to be dealt with intelligently. And parts of that are a wall, you know, fixing a wall that's there, and that's happening.
Well, the New York Times suggested that this was a stark contrast to the Trump things that he's put in place to make more harsh rules on the southern border, and that this is right in the defiance of that. But I think it helps Trump in the way that he's calling for a national emergency, and this sounds like a national emergency.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Politically, I think it's a win.
You could play it that way.
Yeah, I would play that way if I were the president.
Next. First Hillary, now Michael Bloomberg. Michael Bloomberg announced he's not running for president. Hillary not running, obviously, it should be understandable, hopefully to her. Michael Bloomberg was polling at about 2%, and the idea that Democrats would go, you know, it'd be great if we could elect a businessman from New York. So his chances, even though he had a lot of success to run on, probably slim. He's going to use all his money to help others and force a soda tax on us.
Have you formally said you're not going to run?
No, I'm still in.
You're still in?
Yeah. Seems like that's the cottage industry right now. Who's going to run and who's not? It doesn't matter. One way or the other, you're going to get a headline.
I formed an exploratory committee in my head months ago. So we're still exploring. Next, R. Kelly's on the record, sat down with CBS's Gayle King to talk about allegations against him and said he is absolutely innocent. This is double jeopardy. He broke no laws.
Yeah, he talks about all this being in the past, and he's already been tried, and he beat it. He kept saying he beat it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how can you come back to it? I beat it.
It's not double jeopardy when it's different women, though, right?
Different, totally different crime.
That's ridiculous for him.
It's ridiculous.
I only know about that from the Ashley Judd movie, but...
well, that's as good a law school as any. Next, FDA may approve fast-acting nasal spray for depression. This is a mist form of ketamine, which has been reserved previously for intravenous applications. We've talked about it many times on this show. A lot of times, ketamine, not approved by the FDA, not covered by FDA, not the FBA, not covered by insurance. But this mist form is approved by the FDA, could be covered by insurance, and will be available very soon.
My mother-in-law is trying that.
She's already got it?
Yesterday. Yeah, they've got her slated to start doing it. Yeah.
I did not know this. I was reading a story on ketamine, and they were talking about it in the New York Times, and they said it was widely popular as an 80s and 90s club drug
Called
Special K.
Yes.
I did not know that's what ketamine was.
Steve Kuzanis just said it like with authority. Well,
and it's also formerly a horse tranquilizer. Veterinarians use ketamine.
So did it make you a better dancer?
Yeah, I was going to say, what was it like in 1989,
you know,
Steve?
It was one of those things that, you know, people used to not only be like, what's the word, you know, euphoric or whatever, and then along with ecstasy and other stuff. So.
You're simply reporting. You're not.
I like it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
this is not anecdotal.
Right. It makes people feel that way. Mm-hmm. That's how Steve said.
Did you have a friend?
Anybody who was alive there kind of knew that, right? I mean,
yeah. I just have this image in my head now of a early '90s drugs. Steve Kuzanis on the Special K in the club,
the rave kid.
The thing about this, it's called esketamine. You still have to go to a clinic to do the dose.
No, I believe it's going to be over the counter, but prescription based pharmacy stuff is what I was told.
It is going to be, but you still have to go to a clinic to have it.
Oh, you do have to. Yes. You're saying you do? I was not aware of that.
90 minutes, right.
All right, next. Heinz is upping its condiment game. They're introducing a mayo barbecue mashup called Mayo Q. And if you try this, I'm not talking to you anymore. Barbecue mayonnaise. Mayonnaise barbecue. Anyone? Anyone?
No, it sounds Bueller? Okay. I'll try it.
What?
Mayo is terrible for you, but it's good.
What color is it?
Well, I don't know.
I'm guessing light pink.
I believe you just said mayo is good.
It is good. Mayo is good. It's bad for you, but it tastes good. So I would think.
You know, there's other food available. No, I've said this to Dave many times.
When you go to Portillo's or to a hot dog place and maybe take the mayo packet and a little ketchup, you put it together, that's a tasty condiment. It's a tasty thing to dip your fries into.
Let me check with the authorities. No, you're wrong.
It's terrible for you, but it's good.
Well, that's part of it.
Well, I mean, I don't think that Heinz is getting in the business to be like, this is going to be great for you. This is more, hey, let's...
Well, they're not saying it's healthy.
No.
They're just saying they're offering
it. We've got to see the color of it first. I'm guessing light pink, Mayor. I mean, red and white makes pink.
Yeah, exactly. Light pink has got a...
Here's the deal. Pete's in charge of forcing me to try new things when he's not involved in road rage. Pete, I have to do a Shamrock Shake. I will not do Mayo Q. Let's just go on the record right now. There'll be no Mayo Q. But if you want to bring some in for Justin, apparently he'll eat it anything.
His wife texted him, too. Molly, and said she heard that commotion going on outside. And she got up and looked to see, but we were gone by that time. And so then she thought maybe she dreamed the commotion.
Yeah.
Him yelling at the guy behind
me. I was hoping
hey,
you'd
buddy.
Say, so she rolled over and went back to sleep.
The other one besides Mayo Q is Mayo Must.
Yeah. What is that?
So there's two. It's
mustard and mayonnaise?
Mustard, yeah.
Well, you people are all sick.
That's okay, too. I tried that.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Thanks, Kuzanis. Steve knows what's up.
Well, he's on Special K. What do you look at the people you're hanging out with. Finally,
naughty.
Niche.com unveiled its annual rankings for 2019. Naperville listed as the number one city for best public schools and the number one city for best place to raise a family
in
America.
How about that?
Wow. Only
based on...
me living there.
That's what I figured.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
A number of criteria, Dave, which we will get back to you at a later time.
That's why they call it Naper Thrill.
That's one of the reasons, Mayo Q. That's like people... there's no one in Naperville that's ever used that word.
Naper
it's like
Thrill.
It's like when people go Chicagoland. Right, Does anyone you know in Chicago call it Chicagoland?
No. But Naper Thrill is such a good... that's a good way to... call Naperville, Naperville.
Have you been to the Target and Naper Thrill, Captain Cliche?
Riverwalk, baby.
All right, back in a moment. But first, Steve, if you're sober, please tell us what's coming up. We are... What's the date today? Is it Wednesday?
Yes, it is.
You know, just...
the 6th.
I'm completely lost. Vic Vaughn is going to join us in a little bit, along with his executive producer, Ro Coleman, on a special feature on the... on the R. Kelly situation. I did not see the Gayle King interview. Did he yell at her?
It hasn't broadcast yet. They
released
clips.
Leaks, right?
They did little clips and stuff for the CBS Evening News.
Okay.
But the CBS Morning News is coming up this morning. I'm not sure when it's going to air, but the whole thing. She did it here in Chicago, I believe, because I don't think he's allowed to leave at this point. But the... yeah, he sounds very, in the clips that were pulled and that Vic was pulling in the newscast and Steve was pulling, very... demonstrative. He was very yelling in the interview. So, and he seemed very passionate.
And at one point, he got up.
When a university,
there we go. Go ahead.
At one point, he actually got up.
Yeah,
seemed like he was. I don't know what he was going to do, but she said just now, and they were interviewing her just now on television. She at no point did she feel like she was threatened or anything. She just thought he was being
that's
very
his thing.
Dramatic and forceful and trying to get his side across.
He rarely does interviews, and obviously today is important because of all the accusations and the charges. But I remember they tried to get him on the, I think it was Huffington Post back in the day. And,
with the single IT.
Whoever's playing the extra audio, can we not do that? You know, I don't have too much on the show.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I don't know. Just interesting because he doesn't do interviews, so he's obviously in emergency mode, damage control mode right now.
6:32, and we're back with your headlines next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Speaking of R. Kelly, as we were moments ago, it's day two of one of our special news series, and this on the R. Kelly case. Vic Vaughn's here, along with executive producer Ro Coleman, and you guys put this deal together. What are we going to hear today?
Today, part two, and that's going to focus on Asante McGee was one of Kelly's former, you know, inner circle. She's one of three three women who are really inner circle. Really, Asante McGee's kind of the reason why we know a lot of the details, the allegations about this kind of, to use one of their words, harem, allegedly that he's keeping women. Not only underage women, but women in these houses, too. One in Atlanta, one in Chicago. Asante McGee was one who first kind of came out and started talking about that. That's how that... And
then, why haven't we heard more about the Atlanta piece of this?
Well, Jim DeRogatis did a whole piece on that for BuzzFeed about the Atlanta. It was all about the Atlanta. I don't even think it was the it was about the Chicago one.
They shut down the Atlanta house as well, Ro?
Yes, that was a big part of it, though. A lot of the series that aired on Lifetime really highlighted that house and him bringing these women in and calling them his babies and having them almost Playboy style,
right,
in their own room. So that's kind of why it was highlighted. The Chicago thing was a studio that nobody knew about. You know, he was
that people ended
hiding.
Up living in there or being told they couldn't leave there.
Yes. So he was supposedly hiding several different women in different rooms within a studio that he had made into like a mini condo, and going in and having his will with them. So once the series released, that's when we got more information about what's going on in Chicago and, you know, police going in and shutting it down. But the house in Atlanta was the big one. Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I don't want to sell out the piece because I want people to listen. At what time? 7:30?
So it's going to air five times. The first one's at 7.
7 o'clock. But did Asante talk at all about, you know, how she felt about this and the transition?
It's a very interesting interview. Ro, I'm going to let Ro talk because Ro interviewed her. But I want to say one thing that Asante would not touch and Ro pushed on it gently was... Can you tell us a little bit more about what happened in that room? And it was kind of a no answer, but it was still chilling because she said, those things I'm taking to my grave. She's, you know, you can talk.
But she witnessed things that she doesn't want to talk about.
She did. So being one of the girls there, she actually was the first to leave. So Asante says that when she was there, you know, she was there for about 3 weeks, and all of these just very uncomfortable, as she explained it, the happenings that she promised to take to her grave happened, and she got done with it and said she was walking, but she wouldn't talk. She said that it was a lot going on with there being so many different women there and underage girls and them not letting them eat and her having to literally knock on the floor to get his attention just to use the bathroom was among one of many different things that was going on in the house. And supposedly this room was like almost like a discipline room. Like if you didn't do what he wanted, he would have these girls go into a room and God knows what else was happening there.
Yeah, and the support people around him. I mean, the people that you and Dee or Goddess had talked about for years, they just knew this was happening and looked the other way or facilitated it.
Well, that in this case, this is how the story came out, right? Asante and others have essentially been whistleblowers on the R. Kelly house in Atlanta and now in Chicago, the landlord. And how hard is it? Do they see it that way? Do they see that they have a duty, someone like Asante, to tell the story of R. Kelly?
Very much so. One of the things Asante said, especially was toward black women, she felt like this all happened because it was black women. She felt like nobody really listened because it was black women and didn't believe it. So when she left, it was her duty not only to reignite these women with their families, you know, underage girls with their families, but to make sure that she is speaking out against this, that he is, that some justice is served. So she spoke very clearly about that. She's since been everywhere. Yeah. She's written a book. She's been all over national TV.
She's been threatened? She didn't talk about it?
She did not talk about it.
She's been
she has said she's been heavily criticized. Yeah. Yes. And I have read some reports that there's also been threats.
That seems to be the sort of go-to for the R. Kelly legal camp, is to, like any whistleblower, is to threaten suit. This is a story, Vic, and a story that to Chicagoans may be different than to the story that the national or international audience knows because of his obviously his longtime roots here in Chicago. But this is a story. He said on CBS to Gail King, this is the double jeopardy. I've already been tried for this stuff. I beat the case. Why is it coming back? Mm-hmm. But there are there are so many people and so many stories from the South Side of Chicago that people could corroborate. But over the years, nobody has come forward.
Yeah. He has a big support system. Like, even if you watch the series on Lifetime that released in January, he has a huge support system. There are a lot of people that honestly were just turning their backs on it.
Well, money.
And not saying anything. Yeah.
Well, in watching that series, I know my husband was disturbed by some of those guys who are like, we should have done something. And then they laugh kind of like they don't even though they are accepting that it's wrong, but they're not even fully like there's not a ton of
Is part of the reason this is coming out now in such a big way because he's out of money? He can't pay people off to keep quiet?
You know, according to one of the guys who's maybe covered this better or as long as anyone is Jim DeVergadis, former Sun-Times. He says, you know, hate to be cynical, but absolutely. You know, he doesn't have the money to pay the entourage, the lawyers, the
stay
enablers, you know, allegedly. But yeah.
Today he's got the child support thing doesn't come up with the $116,000 or whatever, he's going to jail.
Yeah,
you know, there's been a lot of talk this week about bad parents in regards to the Michael Jackson doc on HBO. And you know, you and I talked about this off the air, Justin. The parents of some of these girls, there's been stories, rumors, fact about these parents being paid off as well. What do we know about that, if anything?
Interesting point. I think Jim DeRogatis covers that somewhat in part three, and that's an interview that our own WGN's Dean Richards did with DeRogatis. The full interview will be on the website, and it goes into some of that stuff. The one thing I wanted to say about part two today, and Asante, and also that the full interview will be on the website. You know, you talk about the criticism and the threats against her, and she's the focus of today's segment. But she talked about being a fan of his. She was a lifelong fan, and she kind of explained how, in her words, there's two people. There's R. Kelly, which is the man she fell in love with as a fan, and then there's Robert Kelly, who she, in her words, said is Lucifer. His personality is almost a split, according to her. And I think that speaks a lot to these parents who, you know, allowed their kids to meet with R. Kelly during some of his concerts.
Rose, some of the social part of this, and I think the lasting part of this story, and we'll see how this all shakes out, especially after R. Kelly's interview this morning, is there is this feeling that black women are not heard, or that society kind of turned its back or just overlooked what was happening. Because as we've talked, I mean, this is not something that's new to Chicagoans. There have been rumors down to going into choir rooms at high schools and other things. But because, the way that society sort of overlooks certain people, is that the feeling and the sentiment that this is not a bigger story because it was black women?
Yeah. I mean, as a black woman, I'm inclined to agree with that just because you're talking, 28 years of abuse that nobody said anything about. And quite frankly, while I want to agree that nobody said anything because of money or whatever the case may be, there's a lot more money in exposing him. You see what I'm saying? So I just think people thought, you know, oh, whatever, it'll be okay. Even the fact that he was allowed to come to these high schools and hang out at the high schools and nobody saw it.
I should rephrase. I said black women. More specifically, black girls.
Yeah,
girls.
Black girls.
We're not talking about women. We're talking about girls.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we live in a society that definitely overlooks us. We are the most unprotected. We are the most criticized. And so with R. Kelly being such a big icon, especially in the black community, like I partly even blame my own community because we as a community should have stopped this a very, 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 very long time ago. it should have been nipped in the bud a very long time ago, and it wasn't, just because of where he is in our community. So, I hope to see justice.
Well, the important thing now is he goes away for the rest of his life because he's committed crimes that deserve that kind of punishment.
Absolutely.
There's five times today, 7, 10, 1, 5, and 9. When are you going to post it?
You got it. It'll be posted, I believe, today. Dave Marzullo is going
to
get it.
Why am I talking to you? Ro, you're the producer. When are you going to post it?
It'll be posted Thursday, so we're going to wait until after part three is done.
And then you'll have all three up.
And then we'll have the full
Vic
one.
With the misinformation. Ro's like, no.
The newsman. The newsman's got the wrong info.
You're right, Steve.
I can't trust talent.
Yep. Well, look,
I know
that's
talent.
That's what I'm here for.
So true.
Vic Vaughn and executive producer Ro Coleman, nice work already, and we look forward to hearing more. And by the way, part three tomorrow with the regatta sounds fascinating, and you'll hear it first tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.
Thanks, Steve.
All right.
Thank you.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
You don't have enough to worry about, so there's two things I wanted to throw your way. One is Chicago is sinking just like Venice, and the other is there's an asteroid that may hit Earth by the end of the week. Steve, are you following the asteroid story?
I am not, because it doesn't appear it's actually going to hit Earth. So
well, this is why I'm turning to you as a voice of reason in a time of panic, because you know this space stuff. This is a 2 football fields long asteroid that if it hit Earth would cause the end of Earth as we know it.
We'd be done. We'd be toast.
So how close is it going to come?
I don't know the exact number of exactly how close it's going to come, but it's one of those near-Earth asteroids. And it's going to be a near miss, but it's still going to, and it's also going to be something to study. I think we can all go to sleep. Comfortably.
Do we have a rocket that's flying there now where Bruce Willis will be dropped off and,
well, maybe that's why North Korea is rebuilding their rocket testing facility.
To save us from asteroids?
And to get nervous when we pull the space shuttles out of retirement and get them lined up and get, a mission going, and that's when you start to get scared about, we start sending Bruce Willis and getting the shuttle on.
Isn't there a website that charts all of these that people can look at? Like you? Space nuts
NASA,
like you?
NASA is a good place to go. There are a lot of conspiracy sites that you
I thought there was some sort of legitimate asteroid tracking site you could go to where you could go, well, I've got 2 hours till the end of Earth. And by the way, what would change the path of this thing? Anything?
No. I mean, if it hit something else, perhaps. If it hit another asteroid on its way here, that might change its trajectory a little bit.
Otherwise, it's locked into whatever gravitational pull it has or space orbit it has.
A little bit like bocce ball when you're rolling the ball,
And it's one of those things, too. If you knew it was going to... I mean, if there was some hint that it might hit, would you even want to know that? I'm not sure I'd want to know. I'd be like, okay, don't tell me. I don't want to know.
I mean, you'd hear about it on Twitter.
You probably would. You wouldn't be able
somebody
to
tweet it out. Somebody tweeted out, go, hey, how about that asteroid?
Asteroid memes would take over before you die.
Meanwhile, Chicago is sinking at 10 to 20 centimeters each century. That's 4 to 8 inches every 100 years. That's about the same rate as Venice. It's a slow process, but a persistent one. It's due to glacial melt that took place 10,000 years ago, which caused some areas depressed under the weight of the ice sheet to bounce back up. But it's not just Chicago. It's areas across the northern United States and Canada. So how long do we have? Well, I mean, if it's not the asteroid, we're just going to be sunk and, we got to swim out in the lake. I mean, we got a lot going on.
I was told there'd be no mass this morning.
Yeah. It's like heavy.
I think human beings shrink at a faster rate than that rate. So
is that true?
I think we do. I think we
Well, that's not good news because we'd be short. That's not going to make us better swimmers. I'm sorry, Steve. I'm panicking for no reason.
You seem a little concerned by all this morning.
Yes. Either that or it filled that segment. It's 6:59. The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will bring some sanity to us in a moment, I think, on 720 WGN.
He's on the radio right back here at GN. We all want him back here full-time again. So come on, Todd. Don't say maybe, say when. And bring back producer Scott Miller.
I have never heard that. That is hysterical. I'm sorry, Pete, that's not funny at all. Pete, are you
that
with
song
me?
So I can I play that song?
What do you mean? I just played it.
I know, but can I get a copy of it? I'd love a copy so I could actually play it sometime on the radio.
Speak to John DeCosta's people. I had never heard it. You were aware it existed?
Yes, I've heard it three times. We played it the last time I was on the show when I was in the studio.
Yeah.
Did you listen to your show?
No, I can't pick it up on my headphones. Pete McMurray's with us. Pete's going to be dancing with the Chicago celebrities on Friday. I just realized I hadn't donated to you, so while we talk, I'm doing a donation right now.
All you have to do is go to my Facebook page, type in Pete McMurray. The link is right on the front.
Yeah, well, I'm already on the website.
Okay.
You can also go to the ridiculously hard website to access Dancing with Chicago Celebrities and 8otherletters.com.
I made it easy. Just go to tinyurl.com/Team Pete.
Okay.
That's it.
And Team Pete is leading in donations. I was checking out the competition.
Well, I'm not surprised by that.
I was until
Courtney Guzman
gave Courtney Guzman $2,000 yesterday.
Oh, that's a scam.
It is.
Wait,
right?
What do you mean? The company gave her $2,000?
$2,000, $1,950. They bought a table, and that goes towards her donation. So Paul Rennie must have handed her a check yesterday.
Well, Paul Rennie is the general manager of this place, too.
Thank you.
And he's listening right now. So, Paul, let's go. Yeah. Another 2G.
Right.
Maybe he wants you to do it, Steve.
I'm sure he does.
That's Steve, are you going to go sit at the table, though?
Am I invited?
Well, of course you're invited.
But that doesn't really matter.
Right. If I'm invited, there's no way I'm going.
Of course not.
Yeah.
That's
okay,
though. Pete can get this with our listeners. As Pete has pointed out before, if people even just donate $5, that adds up quickly. You know, I donated $5 myself.
So Pete wants to be a victim? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
It's a better position to be in?
If everyone listening right now donated $5, we'd be over the top. I'm trying to raise $10,000 by Friday.
I just
want to know how good the dance is coming along, the big tango.
Mary, as you know, it's very difficult because you're a dancer. I'm a dancer. I tweaked my back yesterday, and I woke up this morning, and it's almost locked.
Well, you're old. See, this is why dangerous, because you're old.
I know it is. So I'm icing it as I talk on the phone. There's ice on my back.
Did you get any sympathy at home?
Zero. My wife doesn't even care. I don't even know if she's going to show up on Friday. I bought her a ticket.
Does she know you're doing this?
kind of, yes.
How does she feel about you dancing with your very sexy partner?
I don't think she understands yet, Mary, because until you see it, you don't really understand it when you explain it to people.
And the outfit, I'm sure she's going to have on, too, the costume.
Right.
You've been married long enough. I'm pretty sure your wife's not going to care at all.
No, she doesn't care. You're right. No. Yeah, it's been 18 years.
Yeah.
I've been dancing for years. My husband could care less. He comes once in a while to watch me.
Right.
It's like, have a good time.
See you later.
Yeah. Okay.
Pete, the injury, and I put you on the injury report, and this is on Friday. Are you concerned that's going to affect the tango?
Justin, I am. I really am, because you have to have perfect posture when you do the tango. Got to keep the right elbow up, and I bend over a few times and lift my partner, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, I may have to wear a back brace. I don't know how this works.
Are you going to go cortisone shot, maybe?
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. I'm going to call up Doc Terry from the Blackhawks, see if he can give me a few shots. What do you think?
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, no, I think the Blackhawks have nothing else going on. I think they'd welcome you to come over.
Right. Well, Ward is down, you know, so they have one less player right now to work on. So
right.
Is this a lame way to get out of this because you don't feel it's going
well? No. I'm absolutely, I will guarantee you I will win this event on Friday. There's no way I'm going to lose.
Yes.
Even with a bad back?
I love the confidence.
Even with a bad back, I will win this competition.
Even with general manager Paul Rennie not caring about you enough to donate money?
Right. Exactly. Yes. I will win the competition. I want to win the donation competition, too.
I just donated to you, by the way.
But, Pete, I would say
$2,000.
That you're in a situation where the WGN, the Tribune Media is the umbrella, right? And so I think you can make an argument to the judges and say, listen, by Paul giving the money to Ms. Guzman, that's for both of us.
Yeah, split it.
That's a split. That's the same company. That's the same. That should be.
So right.
I'm thinking Rennie would agree with that based on what I've said in the last 5 minutes.
I'm just saying. There's a legal
argument
there.
Paul Rennie is a really good guy, and he's a fan.
I know he is.
And not of you necessarily, but he's a fan, and I think he's going to want to help. Now, he may not give you all the money. Look, if I were Paul Rennie and I gave, what was it, 1995? to Courtney?
1950.
Yes. To Courtney. I would give something appropriate to you as well based on your current contributions, and I would say I would give you $4. But it would be a gesture.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I'm looking for a little bit more than $4. I'm only $400 behind her, and I was leading by $2,000 until, of course, she got the donation yesterday.
Well, David Hochberg from from Team Hochberg is on the phone. Do you want to donate to this clown?
He already has.
I just want to know what happened. I donated last night. Now he's gone the IR. What's going on?
No. He says he's going to play.
Yeah, David's name is on the donation list, too.
Yeah.
Yes, he donated $100.
If I would have known he was that fragile, I would have taken out, like, some insurance on him. For the love of God, Mr. Workout, Mr. In Shape, you know, Mr. I Stretch, here's a picture on the treadmill.
I will play in pain, I will dance in pain on Friday, and I guarantee you I will win. I sent you that text yesterday. I told you that I am winning this.
Listen, off of the leg if you don't win is all I'm saying. That's it. That's all I got to say.
David, if you double your donation, I will consider doubling mine.
All right, done. I'm in. I'll when I get off the treadmill, because as you could, I'm getting in shape for next year's dance off. Because I was too intimidated by Pete being involved this year. I didn't want to show him up. So I'm in next year. So I'll double it when I get to the office, Steve, if you double yours.
Okay. All right. Thanks, man.
Pete, the big question, though, is have you decided on a costume? What are you wearing?
Yes, of course. My character is James Bond. My costume is a tuxedo. We'll be dancing the tango to the James Bond theme.
Okay. All right.
And at any point during practice, have you touched your partner inappropriately?
I have, and it was an accident. Yes, that happens in dancing, as Mary knows.
And were you embarrassed like a prepubescent teenager might be?
I think she's used to it. I mean,
right,
you know,
she's a dancer. She's pawed all the time.
Right. Dancing's very intimate. I mean, the first thing you do on the first day is you're holding hands for 45 minutes with a complete stranger, and it just feels natural.
What do you mean, you're holding hands? Is that some sort of training?
No, you got to face somebody and grab hands.
Oh, right. Okay.
You're holding
I thought
hands,
you meant literally they said, get used to this, hold hands for 45 minutes. Dave Ennett.
I just made a donation, Pete. I just want you to know. So now my name's now
you,
on
Dave.
Your site.
All right,
it's not huge, but it's more than $5.
I will take anything.
David Hochberg had given 100 originally, and his note on there said, good luck, I only sponsor winners, and I want a full refund if you don't win. That's what he had written initially.
Where's the money go?
A lot of pressure from Hawk. The money goes to, it's tax deductible, by the way. And 14 years ago, Arthur Murray set up a 501c3, and all this money goes to breast cancer research to fight it. Breast cancer in Chicago.
All right, good. Good. All right, so if
I see Dave Ennett on the list, Steve Cochran, yours has not gone through yet. Like, I bet he donated to Courtney Guzman, and you just don't.
Oh, no.
Well, that'd be a mistake, wouldn't it? Well, that's odd, because my American Express card said it went through. All right, Pete, good luck. And
Thank you.
And I know that you're very busy the next 2 days. We invited Pete to come on Friday to really do a push for this. He says, I don't have time for you.
But
get healthy and dance your little took us off.
I will bring in the trophy next week. How's that?
Yeah, it'll be good. Do it. Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to see the trophy.
There's the theme. That's what I'm dancing to right there.
Pete, maybe you should put a rose in your mouth so that'll you can grit your teeth so that'll get rid of the pain.
Well, that's a great idea. See, that's why Vandeveld's a professional.
Do that.
I like it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Are you good?
And if you're wearing heels, it's not going to be good for your back.
I know. I'm doing flats today.
Okay,
thank
good.
You.
Good. There you go.
Right.
Pete McMurray.
Good
I love you guys.
Good luck, Pete.
Love you, Pete. Thanks for being on.
Break a leg. No, don't. Don't break your back.
Hurt his back. Didn't John Williams do this last year?
Yeah.
Yes.
Or a couple of years.
Did he win?
Last year, yeah.
Did he win?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
He did
we
not.
Would know if he won.
We would?
Yeah, there would have been a lot of fanfare, but I don't think he did, and so it just quietly went away. Because there was a lot of lead up to that dance competition, and then we didn't really hear anything after.
I think he'd be on the open to his show every day if he won.
They finally quit inviting me this year. I'm fairly open about the fact I want to be invited. I won't come.
See, I could see Justin doing it.
Yeah, I can see Justin.
Yeah,
doing it.
Carmen's done it, and David Miranda, but that was for the one I did for Dancing with the DuPage Seniors.
You remember when Tommy Chong was on Dancing with the Stars, and he did a dance to Talk Dirty to Me, and there were two flight attendants on a fake plane.
So bad.
And the majority of his dance was to get out of a chair
That I could do.
You do that.
That I could nail.
They dance around you.
That's my point.
It. They work on your best qualities. It's getting better all the time. I used to get mad at my school. The teachers that taught me weren't cool.
All right, it's 7:28 now, and it's time for the most valuable person on the planet. It's the Inglewood School. Got a big, big surprise from a local charity. Enchanted Backpacks Executive Director, Hillary Fash, joins us now. Good morning, Hillary. You are the most valuable person on the planet.
Thank you for having me. We're so excited to share the mission of Enchanted Backpack and the incredible team of people behind it.
Now, this is the Academy at St. Benedict. What are they getting in the Enchanted Backpack?
So our delivery last week, they received school and classroom supplies. They received 1,500 books. They received winter coats, hats and gloves, shoes, recess equipment, board games, art supplies, incentive items, and some more fun items for the students and teachers there as well.
This idea comes from where?
So Enchanted Backpack was started by Carol Lavin Burnick and her family. Carol's daughter was a teacher, and so they really saw firsthand the teachers digging into their own pockets to provide resources and supplies for their students. So they started Enchanted Backpack to serve under-resourced elementary and middle schools in the Chicagoland area.
That's a really big deal. Hillary, how do you choose the school?
So the criteria for schools to qualify for support is just having 50% or more of their students receiving free or reduced lunch and serving any variation of pre-K through 8th grade. There are about 1,200 schools in the greater Chicagoland area that actually qualify for support from us. And to date, we've served 60 schools in 6 counties touching about 35,000 students.
It's amazing, too, because this is an issue that always seems to be overlooked. The resources in the classrooms are continually being supplemented by out-of-pocket expenses for teachers and or going to parents to pay for these things. Do you see that at any change? Obviously, what you're doing with Enchanted Backpack helps that. But do you see that at any point that might change, that'll go back to school districts, administrations, and the government?
You know, we're hoping it's a major stress, as you said, on teachers and parents. And our hope is we can alleviate some of that stress. Last night, we just spoke to a group of teachers and principals, and they were talking about, on average, spending $600 out of their pockets every school year, you know, to make sure not only that their students have pencils and folders and crayons, but to make sure they have coats and socks and shoes. So it's not just school supplies that they're purchasing. It's really necessities for their students.
And to the speak on the coats, I think that's somebody doesn't think about that as a school supply, or it's you know, a need. On your website, you have different categories of donations, and it says $100 can keep 11 kids warm, get 11 coats. Like, not being equipped to go to and from school, it affects the way you learn when you're there, if you're not even properly clothed.
Exactly. A lot of students in these, you know, low-income communities and under-resourced schools aren't coming to school with full stomachs and warm bodies and minds that are ready to learn. So in some of the focus groups that we did before the Lavin and Burnick family started this organization, we heard, you know, that these were resources needed. As important as the school supplies and the books are, having students that are warm and have proper-fitting shoes and coats are really important as well. So we're thrilled to be able to provide that. With some of the corporate power behind Enchanted Backpack, we're able to buy very efficiently. So a coat, you know, as you had mentioned, the donation for the coats, we are able to buy our coats for about $9.
It's amazing.
And they have retail tags, you know, for $79, $89. And they're, you know, they're warm fleece, down winter coats that really are going to keep students warm. So we're excited about that part as well.
Cool quote here. We'll let you go from Maggie Ritt, teaches 6th, 7th, and 8th graders at the school. She said, "It's a blessing. These kids have taught me more about myself and the world and what it means to be a good person. Every day I'm here, I thank God for the joy of young people." It's really what it's all about.
Absolutely. We are inspired every day. Our team here loves hearing from the teachers and the students and visiting the schools, the excitement that comes when our magical, mystical vans appear and deliver all of these supplies, because the students are so inspiring and they really are ready to get their education, and we just want to support them in that.
Have a great day. You're the most valuable person on the planet. It's a lot of pressure, but good luck to you.
Thank you for having me.
Later, loser. Later, loser.
This seems to be the most popular ringtone.
Later, loser.
Calls.
Remix.
Later, loser.
President's on the phone. All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. President Trump, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Cochran. Oh, hey, by the way, before we start, can I just wish your producer, Mary, and the other Mary who does the traffic report, a very happy Women's History Month.
Well, that's nice. That's
nice.
It's nice, Mr. President.
Yeah. Very kind.
If
much.
You gals were here at the White House celebrating, I'd treat you to leftover Big Macs the football team from North Dakota State didn't eat.
Wow, sure, that sounds delicious.
Yeah.
And boy,
oh,
they
yeah,
love that.
We them out from the Clemson party. They couldn't even tell. I'm all about saving taxpayer money, Cochran.
Can we talk about something more important?
You know, National Women's History Month is my favorite month of the year. It's that time when we take a moment to honor and pay hush money, celebrate historic women.
Uh-huh.
You know, like that airplane chick. What's her name? Amelia Earhart. Yeah, yeah. Dale Earnhardt's grandmother. That's what it is.
I think it's Amelia Earhart.
Many, many times throughout history, women have accomplished lots of important things.
Uh-huh.
Now, I can't think of them off the top of my head, but they're not things like landing on the moon or becoming president or sailing and discovering the new world like explorer Christopher Cross, who was such an underrated singer, by the way.
Yeah, and I didn't realize he had discovered America because I thought it was Christopher Columbus.
Whatever. The point is, when it comes to my women's history, for the record, I don't call them women. I call them divorces. Okay? That I can tell you.
Mr. President, speaking of women, how is the First Lady doing? Melania was on her Be Best tour the past few days, traveling around, looking at the emotional health of children, stressing the need to end cyberbullying, hitting the road.
Wait a minute. She's been gone?
Yes.
Then who's taking care of Baron? Isn't he playing Fortnite or something? Excuse me for a sec. Mike. Mike?
Yes, my liege?
Can you do a quick welfare check on Baron upstairs?
Absolutely, sir. Before or after I pick up your McDonald's?
Well, after, of course. Okay, now back to being best, okay? I agree 100% with Melania and all that stuff. And I talk about the incredible work she's doing to end cyberbullying every morning, right after I personally attacked that old bag Nancy Pelosi
right.
and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on Twitter. Now, AOC totally deserves it. She's the one that hates cows passing gas. Did you know that?
It's a methane emissions, and it's directly linked to global warming.
Well, I thought I solved that problem when I gave Chris Christie the boot.
I guess not. Yeah.
By the way, did you hear about my ratings, Cochran? I'm sure you're jealous.
You're talking about your approval ratings, which somehow inexplicably have gone up a skosh.
Way up. Amazing numbers. Seriously, if I get any more popular, they're going to make me an honorary Kardashian. Believe me.
Well, we all have dreams. Speaking of popular, Mr. President, we saw your speech at CPAC last weekend. Man, you had the audience stomping. They were jumping up and down.
You know, I will tell you, nobody gives better speeches than me. Nobody. And full disclosure, the hug I shared with the American flag was completely consensual. That was a tremendous speech, though, you have to admit. I had, like, what, 97 applause breaks, 118 laughter at the expense of Democrats breaks, and about 3 bathroom breaks, because, hey, I'm 72. My bladder is not as huge as it used to be.
Well, more than we needed to know. So the Democrats in Congress have begun a big investigation of you. The House Judiciary Committee, headed by Jerry Nadler, wants 81 of your associates to hand over documents. Tell them everything they know about you.
81? That's impossible. I can't even get Melania to tell me what she ordered from Tiffany's on my Amex Black Card.
Mm-hmm.
It's a witch hunt, Cochran. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the guy that's leading this whole thing, Jerry Nadler, now that's going to be the worst adult film actor name of all time. Really does.
Can you tell us why you ordered the security clearance for your son-in-law, Jared Kushner, when your lawyer and chief of staff both said no?
Now, look, it's a totally inappropriate time to answer that question.
What?
I mean, Luke Perry just passed away. Many of us are still processing the grief. Totally inappropriate.
What have to do with it? Look, Hillary Clinton has officially announced, and Bloomberg, too, now that she's not running in 2020. What are your thoughts on that?
You know what? In all fairness, the only guy who's upset that she's not running is Bill Clinton, because he wanted more free time to himself, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Frankly, I'm excited that Hickenlooper, this Hickenlooper guy, is running for president.
Yeah.
Say it with me, Hickenlooper.
Hickenlooper. You say it again. Say Hickenlooper.
Hickenlooper.
Now let's say it together. Hickenlooper. Isn't that fun? Former Governor John Hickenlooper from Colorado.
It's a fun name to use on Twitter, I'll tell you that. Hickenlooper. Sounds like some weird Dr. Seuss character from The Lorax.
It's always great having you on the show, Mr. President, and I only mean that halfway.
Later, loser.
Okay, yeah. Bye-bye. There you go. I think we all remember when Christopher Cross discovered America. Sailing the Nina, the Pinta, and the Kenny Loggins. Crank this up. Let's rock. It's 7:49. Steve, what do you have coming up at 8?
Steve, I just want to let you know, too, before we get any further, I've started to hashtag later loser online. I'm trying to get that going.
Oh, should be trending right by noon.
So hashtag later loser.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We were talking about road rage earlier, or in this case, pickup Pete rage. When Sandberg picked up Pete to bring him to work this morning, a pickup truck pulled behind him and started screaming at the both of them. And then Pete took a stand and beat the guy within an inch of his life.
Yeah, with a bag of records.
Okay, he didn't exactly do that, but he did stand up for you in the car.
It is a little it's one of those, canvas totes
mm-hmm.
that people that...
I carried my records in those in the 70s. But there's air rage, too, as you know, and it's been a while since we've been able to do an idiot on an airplane story. A passenger was very hungry, apparently. He was on an Air Canada flight this week going from Vancouver to Toronto and demanding to be served fish, claiming he couldn't eat meat or gluten. The flight attendants were taking meal requests. The guy's in business class to begin with, so obviously he's very successful. Before the plane took off, and the man's demands were very specific. The flight attendant reportedly tried to offer the man several meal choices, and he became very belligerent and very rude. The witness said the man was swearing and being verbally abusive. It sounds like he was having a full gluten allergy attack,
yeah.
And he hadn't even eaten gluten at that point. They say he did not appear to be drunk. He said, if I don't get fish, there'll be a problem. One way or another, I will get my fish. Either you'll serve it to me or I'll get it myself. Was he going to go to other trays and take the fish from other people? The passenger's unruly behavior forced the plane to go back to the gate. He was removed from the flight by Canadian authorities. His outburst caused enough of a delay in the flight to create an issue for the flight crew. They timed out. There was a 5-hour delay for the rest of the passengers because this guy was a jackass.
He just wanted his fish.
Air Canada did not immediately respond to Fox News' request for comment. Honestly, I don't know what else they would have done.
Why couldn't they give him the fish? You can have screening for weapons, but
you can't have screening for a guy being an ass.
Well, I'm guessing that when they go around,
they run out
your meal.
They
but okay. What if you have an allergy, or even if you don't have an allergy, you can start selecting your meals, I believe, a month ahead of time if
yeah,
you want to secure
lunch.
Your
Absolutely.
Item.
So you think maybe
so that's
he did
on,
that?
No, I'm guessing he didn't. And so when they got to him, they said, oh, we only have the gnocchi and the chicken parm.
Story.
And then he said, I wanted the fish. Well, we're out of that, sir. But if he would have secured it
early. Okay, let me throw a theory at you. What if he did secure it early, and that's why he was mad? That they didn't
doesn't matter.
Have...
You don't act like that. Who cares?
I think Mary might act like that. If you secured it, and
if
they
I
said,
secured
oh,
it,
we don't have it. We don't have it.
Oh, yeah, you
that.
Would have held a flight up for no, 5 hours.
Did he hold the flight up for 5 hours, though?
Yeah.
He just yelled and screamed about it, and then they turned it back to the gate.
Well, of course they turned it back
guy.
To the gate. They
got
to take
guy.
This guy. You like this guy?
Yeah,
what's the matter with you?
If that theory is correct, if he's just being an ass in the moment, maybe not so much.
But okay, so anytime you're inconvenienced, even if it's a mistake, you should inconvenience 200 other people who happen to be in the same area.
I don't think that is the casualty of this situation. I don't think he was inconvenienced in them by asking for the fish in the moment.
I hope you're stuck in an elevator with this guy for 6 months.
Yeah.
There's no doubt the repercussions of his actions are completely irresponsible. But I'm saying him being angry at the beginning because he didn't get his fish, I can see that.
There's a difference between being angry that you didn't get your fish or upset that you didn't get your fish. By the way, it's a 2.5 to 3 hour flight. Yeah. Suck it up. Have you not eaten in weeks?
When
you land, complain to Air Canada. Get a free ticket out of it. But don't throw a hissy fit, you big dope.
Yeah, impulse control problem. It's
why does a hissy fit make the gate go back? Because they just got sick of him and they're like,
he becomes a risk.
Yeah, I think anyone who behaves out of line.
I mean, that's, well, you know what? this is an issue I have. One time, I had an issue with some food or something.
Ah, here we go.
And I'm
time to admit. Time to admit you're the guy on the Air Canada flight.
We got a little. I forgot what it was, and I got a little lippy with the flight attendant. And they essentially said, "You say one more thing, you're off the flight." Mm-hmm. And it wasn't. I was not at what that. You're making it seem like this dude's stamping up and down, and he's. I want my fish. I want my...
Well,
I
he said like, he'll get it himself.
He just said he's no, swearing and threatening people. What part did you not hear?
I did not hear swearing and threatening. I heard
That was on this station. It came out of my mouth.
The my point being that what I had done to get to the point where they were going to kick me off the flight was nothing. I mean, I was on the second round going, continued the argument.
Unreasonable.
I question what's unreasonable.
The eye of the beholder, because the minute that door closes, you are under the control of the pilot of the airplane, and he has the authority to have you arrested, and it's completely at his discretion.
You have no rights.
Or her discretion.
You have no rights.
No rights
but that doesn't
plane.
Make it right. Right?
Yeah,
that's
but
my
you
point.
Then don't get on
it's
the plane.
It's the law.
Yeah, that's I don't want people
yeah,
having
they're abusing
rights.
The law. That's
I
my
also
point.
Don't want them to bring their pillows, and they shouldn't be wearing pajamas.
What was your...
Keep your shoes on.
I forgot what it was. I was being a smartass, and I forgot.
You're using some of your voting stick on the plane?
I was doing something that was just kind of like, well, I wanted this instead of this, and it was the second time she said to me, she was like, you know what? Any more outbursts, you're off the plane. And I was like, first of all, I'm half joking. And I feel like it got very Gestapo-like on the plane. I was like, geez, I didn't do anything. I did nothing. I honestly was just goofing around with a flight attendant. So my point being that, yes, I agree that this is the consequences irresponsible. All the people laid out, this guy's a jerk for doing so. But I question how much of an outburst it actually was based on my own anecdotal experience.
847, I've never had a negative interaction with anyone on an airplane. I've flown many hundreds of times. The flight attendants are often overzealous and can be snooty, sometimes more so than they have to be. I give flight attendants a lot of leeway because it's like when you see a mom smack a kid in a Walmart and you go, oh my God, child abuse. You don't know that kid didn't earn that all day long.
Right.
So you got to take a step back, got to take a deep breath, got to reconsider. Treat the situation as you would being pulled over by the police. Cooperate now. Deal with the rest later. That's all I'm saying. And by the way, somebody else nailed this. They said, guys, clearly not Canadian. Canadians don't act like that. So, but he could be, I'm just saying, he could be a Winnipeg fan.
I just want to. I would
be
like
a Winnipeg
Jets Steve Cochran ordered a sandwich, and they said, we don't have it. What else do you want? What would you do?
I would do what I just said.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yeah. I'm the yes, ma'am guy. Have you met me?
Exactly.
Yes.
And then they sound like you're Tone Cochran off the plane.
Yeah. No, I have flown a billion times.
Right.
And I have had more than once, I've had reason to be annoyed. I remember specifically a time when Amy was maybe two. And she was a tall kid for her age. And something happened with seats. Seats got screwed up. The flight attendant goes, can she sit in your lap? And I said, yeah, we'll make it work. Well, she's two. She's not yet completely potty trained.
Sure.
So we had an incident on the plane, and suddenly another flight attendant comes back and goes, don't you think she's a little too big to be sitting in your lap?
Yeah.
And I said, why don't you talk to your head flight attendant, who I just spoke with, your boss,
right?
And don't ever speak to me in that tone again.
And they said, you know what? Your tone is crazy. You threaten me one more time, Cochran.
No,
you're off this flight.
No. The guy walked away. I said, I know Dave Innitt.
I've not had any of these problems. I'm sorry.
847 texter, I've had it with this MFing lack of fish on this MFing plane. That's the Samuel Jackson version of the Air Canada flight. All right, we got to do this. We'll come back from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than what I should.
More on entertainment. And
we're morons.
And earlier this morning, we had a, I don't know if it was a controversy so much. Pete McMurray was on, and Pete was talking about how Courtney Guzman had gotten a $1,950 donation from Paul Rennie apparently the cost of buying a table at this Dancing with Chicago Celebrities thing Friday night.
Right. She's dancing. She's competing this year.
And yet Paul Rennie is also the general manager of the radio station, where Pete McMurray occasionally works, and had not made a donation to Pete. So I called out Paul Rennie on the air, and he texted me, and his text simply said this: "Yeah? Well, I'd pay to see you dance."
Ah, okay. See, so that, you know,
so
what? That's
I
legit.
Danced,
favorites, right.
If I dance, I get $19.50.
I like that. Paul is playing dirty. Yeah. He's trying to get, because you've said you're not going to dance.
No,
so he's
dance.
Trying to, but you probably would raise the most money.
And I can dance.
You're denying breast cancer people.
I choose not to.
$1,900.
No, you know how generous I am.
But Paul Rennie's $1,900 is just a table now because it's Pete McMurray and not
I
you.
Can't speak for Paul Rennie's money.
Plus, you don't want to break your rule of being invited and saying no.
Imagine the trouble that would start.
That would
change the balance of the universe.
Then Brent Seabrook would not know if he should invite you next year because he, for fear that you might actually come.
Right. Brent Seabrook and
I support anything Paul Rennie says.
Yeah, of course you do. Brent Seabrook yesterday was on the show, Dean, talking about his bowling thing last night that I used to get invited to all the time, and I said, "No, I don't get invites anymore. What's wrong with that?" And I said, "I won't show up." And he said, "Well, I'll absolutely invite you if you agree not to come."
That seems logical.
Yeah, that was great. I liked that.
And in fact, that's how it worked out at the end. We made a deal. Speaking of people we know, I hear there's an Annabelle Duvall controversy.
Well, actually, within the last 20 seconds, she got up and left.
Well, that's probably because of the controversy. Do you know about the controversy?
Well, I do not.
847 Texter, have you found the idiot who flipped off Annabelle Duvall?
Oh.
Was there somebody in public on one of her segments that flipped her off?
Was there something that happened? She was at...
She was at the Patsky place yesterday.
Yeah, Punchki.
Punchki, sorry.
Somebody didn't get their Punchki and they flipped her off?
She was at one of these old school Southside bakeries. I forget which one, but there were some people because I don't know. They didn't like the way she was pronouncing things. And
it's a tough word.
I don't know, but did somebody... Is that truly the spirit of Punchki Day?
So she's a...
Fat Tuesday?
So she's a Cuban who can't speak Polish. How dare she?
She's actually Puerto Rican.
Oh, Puerto Rican, sorry. Who can't speak Polish.
She's going to kill you
a Cuban.
You know, they're both... Listen,
man.
You've been on this show talking about her homeland.
I got to tell you, they're both nice islands.
They are nice islands.
Really pay attention.
This is he's digging himself here.
Wait for it to be done. She had some around town scheduled for today, and I don't know what happened. So something got canceled. The crew had to go someplace and cover actual news. So she's in the newsroom today, and she sits right next to me in the newsroom. So I haven't been able to get anything done.
No, because she never stops talking.
She never, and her whole crew is with her.
Is she talking to you, Dean, about entertainment, or is she talking about her stuff?
She's talking about her homeland of Cuba.
She's talking about everything.
Oh, I can
she
hear
hasn't
her.
Stopped.
I can hear her right now.
I put headphones on at one point. She goes, she got mad I put headphones on. I have to prepare my segments. I can't. Yeah. I'm not telling you to not talk. I can't hear what I'm doing.
Well, if she comes back before we're done, I want to know about the guy that I can hear her now.
Yeah, I can hear her.
Yeah, and oddly, she's in another building right now.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how loud her voice is.
I think that headphone trick, our own Pete Zimmerman and Justin share an office. It's called the download office.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, Pete Zimmerman has headphones on, and I can see audio is playing on his computer, but Justin is just talking right through it.
I got no one else to talk to.
So,
yeah, hey, did you see this one story? You know, Pete's usually very nice, at least. And he
pretends to listen.
He humors
he'll
me.
He'll take one
stop.
Ear off.
Yeah, I'll take one ear off.
Pat, the firefighter texts, Anna did all those shows about Puerto Rico. You're an idiot, Cochran.
Yeah. Now listen to how angry she sounds right now, and she doesn't even know you called her a Cuban.
Yeah, wait till she finds out.
That's her. No, you'll know when she's mad.
So,
oh my!
What was that about?
I don't know.
All right, so we have other things to do.
Not watching, Steve. You have my full attention.
Well, Annabelle Duvall.
Not 100%
disrupts
sure.
the newsroom.
She is disrupting everybody right now.
Frozen the musical. Steppenwolf has a big new deal to talk about. More Luke Perry reaction. Danny DeVito apparently fell. That couldn't have been a very long fall. I mean, how hurt could he be?
Let's That's wrong.
I mean, you know.
That's wrong.
And celebrity real estate listing, we're always excited about that.
Oh, this is maybe the best listing I've ever had today.
Oh.
I think this is 2019's original, isn't it? Or did you do one before now?
Mm,
there haven't been many.
I haven't been many so far because, mm-hmm. you know, I've been busy with the Oscars. I haven't been able to pay attention to my side job as a real estate agent to the stars. But today's listing makes up for any absence of anything else so far.
815 texter said Anna was given the number one salute on Valentine's Day when she was giving away flowers.
That's oh, nice. Yes. I do remember that. Yeah.
Okay.
She was on the street just handing out roses to
That's
people.
That's an annual tradition.
A lovely thing. And somebody gave her the one-finger peace salute.
Well, why would you do that?
People. What are you going to do?
Yeah, because you know how Cubans are when they get flipped off. Dean's fearing for his own safety now.
You have no idea.
It's 8:21. We're coming back with more Moron Entertainment.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 9720.
Back to Dean. I actually turned your microphone on in the middle of a commercial just to see if I could catch you cursing.
Yes.
Turns out you didn't.
No, I did not. I did not. I don't know who you are. I don't know anything about you. I'm disavowing any knowledge.
Are you quitting Moron Entertainment?
Well, it depends on what happens here in the next couple of minutes. Anna Belleval,
yes,
is here.
Anna Belleval!
Who is born and raised in Puerto Rico.
Of course she is. Why would anyone get that wrong? I mean, I don't even know why you're bringing that up.
Yeah, Steve. Why would anyone get that wrong?
I don't know. That's my point. I don't know how to make you do it. I do remember the time, though, you said I was from Downers Grove when, in fact, I lived in Naperville. So, you know, I wouldn't get upset about that. So why would you get upset if somebody made a simple mistake and you know they love you? Why would you get upset about that?
Because this said person interviewed
who, by the way,
many
we don't
times.
Know. That's right. That's we don't know who this person
we don't know.
Be.
No. Exactly but let's say, like, hypothetically, if this person was the one who was constantly calling me about the situation in Puerto Rico, right. I was their go-to.
And putting you on the air to talk about your home.
Right.
Yes.
Your home where your parents live.
Yeah. Yes. Of course, and your brother.
You've never really mentioned, prior to you going to Puerto Rico, you've never really mentioned where you're from.
No,
so it's
really
an
not.
Honest mistake.
It's my mistake because I only say it like 5 minutes into a conversation.
Let me ask you a quick question. What do you have against the people of Cuba?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. My dad worked for Bacardi, which is a Cuban-owned company,
right.
for 24 years, so they practically put me through college.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yep.
And I apologize for the slip of the tongue. You know I love you. You know I support you. And you know what I think about the guy that didn't give enough aid to Puerto Rico. You know all that.
I know that. Dean was trying to start something.
He's a trouble starter.
I'm really just trying to start some trouble.
Yeah. That's exactly right. How are you, by the way? And why did the guy flip you off
fine,
when you
thanks.
Were handing out roses? Dean, pipe down.
Oh, sorry.
How
back
are
to
you?
Me. And, back to me.
And why did a guy flip you off when you were handing out roses?
I don't know. I was trying to give him a Valentine that included a lollipop, and he wasn't having any of it. And I just threw it at him.
Oh.
Well, not at him. Over him, because I didn't want to hurt him.
After he flipped you off?
No, before.
Oh, you threw it at him. Oh.
I did. So now he's
now
just
lying roses.
Oh, now that's different.
Yeah. I was trying to spread the Valentine cheer with Swery Mary, and he was having none of it.
Yeah, whipping flowers at people.
Some
Come on.
People don't like Valentine's Day, so there's that.
Yeah, there's that.
By the way, you should
but
talk
at least
to
pretend. I mean, this is the land of improv. Right, go with
camera.
Me. Yes, and
yes. Right.
The land right. of improv.
How do the citizens not understand that? My God, people.
So I know there's a long list from Dean, and I know we have to do celebrity real estate, but I've been commissioned by my stepdaughter to find out information about one of the people on here. Dean, have they said how they're going to handle Luke Perry on Riverdale?
No.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Anna.
Anna and I were just talking about this morning because her daughter and their classmates, 11 years old, are big time into Riverdale.
That's what Catherine is like. What's going to happen, Mary? Ask Dean. So
yeah.
I don't think
they have not announced
yet. Do they? How could they know? It's been days.
Yeah, the show shut down production for a while, so I don't even think
when
they
you're
know
14,
do
you, days is plenty
you
of time.
You want answers.
Yeah, you want answers.
You
so.
want answers. Yeah.
Did you know Luke Perry is originally from Cuba?
Frozen the Musical is coming to town?
Is not until the year the end of the year 2020.
Oh, we can talk about it then. The Steppenwolf deal is
coming. Group tickets are on sale now, by the way.
Steppenwolf did a deal with Russians for $50 million.
Steppenwolf, as far as I know, have nothing to do with Russians.
Oh, well, they got money from somebody.
But they did get quite a bit of money to work out. They're renovating the old theater. They're building a new space between the existing theater building and the parking garage. It was a big open-air parking lot.
Right off of North Avenue?
Right off of North Avenue and Halsted, yes, yeah, uh-huh. Exactly. And they are building a brand new facility. There's going to be not a theater to replace the old one, but a new In the Round theater, 50,000 square foot building, education space, you know, for teenagers. More importantly for me, when I go to review a show, they're going to have a wine bar.
Oh, very nice.
Because if, you know, if the shows are a little sluggish, sometimes Uncle Dean needs a little,
yeah, a little something to get you through,
a little medicine, a little to get you through the show.
Apparently, it's a British firm, not a commie firm.
Going to open. As far as I know, there is no collusion. This is another collusion delusion.
Okay.
It's set to open in the summer of 2021.
Danny DeVito fell. This is not... The texters are chiming in. More old guys falling. Ha ha. Danny DeVito fell. Danny DeVito is 4.5 feet tall.
He's a very short man.
So he fell. Did he hurt himself?
He was getting ready to be part of a press conference for this new Dumbo movie that's going to be opening soon. And Anna's translating in Spanish on our secondary channel.
As a Cuban would.
Yep. For the island of Cuba, Anna is translating in Spanish, by the way.
The Radio Marti.
Am
I being loud again? That's her only volume.
So he was climbing up some stairs, he tripped on the stairs and fell. He's perfectly okay. Got right up. He's 74 years old, though, so it's, you know, you're always a little concerned when...
Man, he's still funny.
He's still very funny, but he got up and, you know, waved to the crowd and said, you know, I'm fine. Don't worry about it.
You know what it's time for now?
Yes, I do.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dean's real job, his true love, is not show business. His love is real estate.
And today's listing, Steve, combines the two.
Oh, it does.
Because, as you know, in my my main job, Dean Richards Celebrity Real Estate Company, I am constantly selling properties for the rich and the famous.
Right.
Today, Mel Gibson is selling his mansion in Malibu.
Come on.
And I was able to snag this listing.
Wait, Mel Gibson hired you?
Hey, I told you we're friends now.
It's unbelievable.
We've been friends for a long time now.
This is unbelievable.
It's a 6,500 square foot home with 5 bedrooms and 5 bathrooms. Most of the rooms have views of the ocean and the mountains.
Okay.
French country style kitchen, medieval chandeliers, rustic wooden beams. It sits on 5.5 acres of land.
So this is Mel Gibson's house. There's no swastikas anywhere, right?
No, there is not.
Okay.
But on that 5.5 acres of land, you can be as nutty as you want.
Right.
And nobody would know.
Right.
I'm not saying that he is. I'm
right.
Just saying,
no.
You could pretty much do whatever you want on property that's that large.
Sure.
Steve, this is a honey of a property, and I can get this to you for the price of $15
million. $15 million. All right. Let me go to the wallet, as I often do, and a little cash light today. I got $70, but 3 20s and a 10, so you don't have to worry about ones.
Yeah, don't have to do any change.
$70, Dave.
I have 32, but I got to get a haircut today. Well, I can get cash later. So
yeah, so
yeah, I'm in for 32.
Keep the two.
We're over 100.
Let's go to 100.
A Graziano's sandwich punch card.
Hmm. Oh, that's right. I forgot you hate cash.
Yeah, I hate cash.
I have a wax today, so I have $30 on me.
But that was your tip money?
Yes.
So is it a $30 tip?
Yes. So they're either getting tipped or we're getting a house.
What's the appropriate tip for a waxing?
It depends on how it goes.
I love her, so she gets like 30,
is that like Carnuba wax? Is that what you're talking about?
My eyebrows are out of control.
All right, so we got $100 that we're willing to do right now. And this is cash, Dean. We're not messing around. This is a cash offer. You can wait all day for somebody to finance this, but we're talking $100 in cash.
I can put the offer in. Now, he does have, I know from personal experience, he has a little bit of a temper. And can fly off the handle, although he's been very, very nice to me lately.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be happy to put the bid in.
Go ahead and ask him.
Right now?
Yeah, no, I mean, just ask him soon. And by the way, it might help. Tell him I'm not Jewish. You know how he feels about us.
All right, thank you, buddy.
I'll tell him that I have an offer from a wealthy Cuban.
That's it. It all comes full circle. Headlines next, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You can dance. So, several times a year, the FCC mandates by law that I have to bring up The Bachelor. Sandberg?
So, Mary, yesterday when I sat down finally to eat dinner at 8 o'clock, I turned on the TV, and our TV was on Channel 7, and so it was Women Tell All The Bachelor.
Yes.
And so I don't watch The Bachelor, so I don't watch the Women Tell All part. And my husband said, are you doing your best impression of Mary Vandeveld? And I was like, why? He goes, because she watches The Bachelor.
Oh.
I know.
That's, I thought she was, saying I was like those crazy girls that beat each other up on the show.
I saw something and I wanted to know if this happens every time. They had a girl on there that cries a lot, and they showed clips of her crying a lot. And then they brought out, Chris Harrison awarded her with a year's supply of Halo Top ice cream, which is my husband's favorite ice cream.
Why did she get ice cream?
You know, I was whipping through that part. I do not like the Women Tell All show because it's so annoying. They just sit there and yell at each other the whole time, and you can't tell who's talking or what's going on. So I did miss that part, but I think I saw her getting some ice cream.
Ice cream on the show.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so that's it?
And so, it's a light ice cream. I don't know if you guys know about it.
No.
My husband likes it. It's like under 100 calories, and it's low carb.
Are they?
What does it taste like?
It actually is good.
It's not bad.
Yeah. And so,
you can't decide. If it's good or bad. You eat quinoa and kale.
Yeah, but okay, but I'm
you
telling
no
you
taste buds.
But I'm telling you, I'm confessing that I actually eat some ice cream and now
top.
You're ripping me for that.
You eat Halo ice cream.
You can eat ice cream.
And he sold it as not bad.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Who has ice cream and goes, it's not bad?
It's not bad.
Right.
You know?
My husband claims to like it, but Chris Harrison says, and you're going to get a lifetime supply of Halo Top ice cream. And then he goes, and I'm Oprah. And you're getting ice cream. You're getting ice cream. So, like, everyone got ice cream. And I just want to know.
No, it does not happen.
What's the show turning into?
Yeah, that's what it was.
What happened to the quality?
They probably just had to do that for her because she wanted to be the next Bachelorette. So that show is where they all decide who's going to be the next Bachelorette. So they all try to outdo each other on that show.
Sorry, I missed it.
It's so
riveting.
Annoying.
Yeah. 8:47, and stand by. More of this after Steve says that.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
See the new richest people in the world list is out?
I didn't see that. Yeah. I always try to bookmark that because I want to know who's rich.
The guy that always shows up on this list that, you know, people don't know, and frankly, why would they, is the Mexican telephone giant, Carlos Slim. Carlos Slim Alu, I believe is the pronunciation, is worth $64 billion. Bezos still at the top of the list at 131. That will be 65.5 eventually. Bill Gates is 96.5 billion. Warren Buffett 82.5. Bernard Arnault, I don't know who that is. Arnault. I don't have a link on this, so I can't click it. How about Amancio Ortega? Is he the guy that makes the Ortega taco shells?
I don't know.
Because those are tasty.
I don't know if they're worth millions.
Would they be worth that much?
I don't know.
Bernard Arnault is a French business investor.
Collector,
yes.
Roubaix
Français.
Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook, he's on the eighth place now. $62 billion. Michael Bloomberg, $55.5 billion, announced yesterday that he is not going to run for president. Larry Page from Google, $50.8 billion. Larry Ellison, I skipped over him. $62.5 billion. Another internet genius. Don Rickles was out with his son-in-law, a friend of mine. This is 5-6 years ago now. And Larry Ellison, who's got to be 65, maybe 70. Larry Ellison was at a famous brunch place in Malibu, and at this restaurant, Larry Ellison is there with a woman who is 24. Rickles recognizes him, but doesn't know who he is. He asked my friend Ed Mann, his son-in-law. I said, who's that guy? He goes, well, it's Larry Ellison, the guy from Sun Microsystems. And he said, wait here. And Don got up. And keep in mind, I mean, if you saw Rickles in the last few years of his life, he wouldn't get around real easy. Mm-hmm. But this is how much he was committed to the joke. He gets up, he walks over to the table with Larry Ellison. He goes, Larry, Don, Rickles, you know me, Rickles. And, of course, Larry Ellison knows Don Rickles. They're
sure.
talking.
Who doesn't, right?
And Larry's trying to remember how he met him. And he goes, hold it. Who's this? And he introduces Mandy, let's say her name was. And he looks at Larry Ellison. He goes, with all your money, you couldn't make one older? That's sweet.
Classic Rickles.
Come on.
There you go.
Joining us in the studio is Kim Bellware. When I was at the Love It show a week ago, Kim was on stage. My son took me to the show.
How did you like it?
Let me get your microphone on. That might help. I had a good time.
Yeah?
The entire audience was screaming Malort most of the night. But the Love It thing isn't just, I mean, it's a phenomenon.
Yeah. People in the front row, they have Friends of the Pod, which is, he's also in the show Pod Save America, which is a very popular political right. podcast. But yeah, the fandom was intense. I wasn't quite prepared for that.
And I thought you did a great job.
Thank you. Yeah. It's a little tough to, you know, sort of feel like you're holding your own when Peter Sagal is on stage with you because I think he stole the show.
He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. Justin, say hi.
Hi, Kim. Kim Bellware is a journalist in Chicago. You can find her work not only here at Chicago Magazine and other places, but in the New York Times as well as part of the op-eds. You wrote a great piece right after Election Day about it didn't have to be this hard for Chicago to make history.
It was such a struggle.
African-American women running for mayor because the way our system is set up, it is antiquated that there are other ways to do elections in this country and other municipalities are doing it. And it's this ranked choice voting style that we're talking about that Chicago, you think, should adapt.
Well, you did a poll that night for the audience. There's 3,000 people there. And you said, how many of you want ranked choice voting? And everybody stood up and yelled.
I think they edited that out of the final.
Well, but I'm telling you, I was there. So
yeah,
people liked it.
It was popular. I mean, the way elections have changed in just the past two municipal cycles has been so drastic. You know, before 2015, it was so unheard of that an incumbent, a powerful mayor, would be forced into a runoff. I mean,
sure.
That was seen as a huge political humiliation for Rahm Emanuel.
Loss within a win.
Yeah. And then, and you know, now that you have all of the, you know, this wide open field, which, you know, as we don't have mayors that come from, you know, a Daley era or someone like Rahm who is in that mold and, you know, very well connected politically, mm-hmm. you know, you are going to see mayors as someone who, you know, they're beatable. They're mm-hmm. not, you know, they're not mayors for life anymore. So if you have the field, I think it was originally 21.
It's just insane.
Something,
right,
yeah,
right.
And then, you know, we got 14. So, you know, as you saw, as we're going into a runoff, there was nobody who had a clear majority. Nobody won more than 17%.
That yeah, Lightfoot was the number one with 17. Yeah,
yeah. And I've been fascinated looking at the election maps of, you know, who everybody's.
Isn't it the best?
I love it. Everybody's,
it's the best.
So many good maps have come out. And what was really fascinating is I'm a reporter in residence for City Bureau down in Woodlawn, and one of our data guys, he did a map where you could unclick everybody's name and you could see what the number two choice or like the second highest vote getter was.
Okay.
But the
it's like a ranked choice preview.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit. And I mean, so for people who aren't familiar, ranked choice voting is instead of casting one ballot and you're one and done, you rank the candidates in order of preference. And depending on the rules of your municipality, sometimes you have to rank at least three for your ballot to qualify.
That's what California does, right?
Yeah.
They do three?
Or you have to rank all of them depending. So in Chicago with 14 candidates, maybe you know you have to rank top three.
Yeah.
So if nobody has a majority, gets to that 50% plus one vote, then you put all the votes up there and you take the lowest vote getter, you discard their votes, and whoever the second choice was, you reallocate those.
And I find that to be, you know, think about if we use that in this last municipal election. I think that the storylines that have come out, for instance, with Bill Daley,
mm-hmm.
the idea that Jerry Joyce was a spoiler and he took the Northwest and Southwest sides. But everybody's second choice on the Southwest side was Bill Daley.
Yeah.
And it may have had a different outcome. You may have seen in a runoff of Bill Daley as opposed to, or Bill Daley outright winning if it was more ranked choice. I'm not saying that's the preferred candidate. But that's just an example. If you look at Tony Preckwinkle and Lori Lightfoot, both of them in their respective wards that they won, a lot of them, they're first and second choices. Yeah. So, I mean, there really is true that this would have had a different outcome to the election.
Well, you know, it's two things, right? Because it's for people who are overwhelmed by too many choices, but also mathematicians, statisticians will tell you it's a more fair representation in a close race of what people actually want.
I think the big, what we're seeing in Maine right now is the one outcome that not everybody likes, at least if you're the number one vote getter, is that the person who collects the most number one votes doesn't necessarily end up the winner, because they collect the most, but the most doesn't make a majority. So, you know, someone who had the most number two votes could end up winning. And if you said, well, you know, I got 17% of the number one vote, I should be the winner. And it doesn't work out that
way.
Could
you make a case then that there's a flaw in the system if number two is more likely to win than number one, or is that not the case?
Well, I think the argument is that more a plurality of people prefer number two versus a majority of, or
you're right.
You know, prefer the number one. What was interesting too is if you look in the Chicago election, Mendoza and Willie Wilson and Daley, you know, they had all in the solid tens.
Yeah.
So if you dropped those votes into the buckets of, you know, any other, I mean, that's actually going to, I think, be the big game changer for the runoff.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I wonder, we'll leave it at this, but I mean, as you look at this runoff and it becomes, I mean, this becomes almost a data election when you look at all the different neighborhoods and wards and who's going for who and what old candidate's going to throw support to a new candidate. It is a very great time to be a political geek in the sense that we're going to see on Friday, Willie Wilson's going to endorse a candidate. And the prevailing notion is that means that the people who voted for Willie Wilson will vote for that candidate. I mean, what is happening behind the scenes when it comes to trying to jockey for those votes?
I mean, I think it was Toni Preckwinkle. I mean, there's only two of them, so I could get it wrong. But I think it was Toni Preckwinkle who, after she won, she, you know, that was her first call, was to Willie Wilson. I mean, he has...
got a lot of power.
Yeah. I mean, he has very reliable voters, you know, people that are just there consistently going out to the polls. They're going to show up for the primary, and they're going to show up for the general.
It's a great test of how big a deal endorsements are.
Yeah.
To see what happens if it translates. You got to come back.
Thank you.
We're a little short on time today, but you got to come back.
Definitely.
All right. Thanks for being here.
Thanks,
and where do we read you?
I think I'm going to have upcoming stuff. I'm going to continue covering R. Kelly for New York Magazine, and then Chicago Magazine will have some stuff coming up, and I guess it's just all over the place.
And occasionally in that small, struggling, as the president would say, failing New York Times?
Yes, every now and then.
Highest subscription rates they've ever had, by the way. Thanks for coming over.
Thank you.
We'll come back in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next. Your junk could be worth billions of dollars.
Billions.
Greg Flam is here.
Good to be here.
How'd you originally meet Greg? Greg was a listener.
Yep.
Who we were talking about. I think it was in the Mayor Byrne coloring book.
You and Pete were having an on-air production meeting about. Yeah. We should do a show called Swap Meet, where one guy calls in with one item and five want to trade him something.
The original idea of Swap Meet was, what if you had people in studio or calling in, and then I will trade this for this. And then we realized that's a lot of stamps.
Tradio.
We would have to Tradio, yeah. And we were like, we're not going to be able to do that.
Potential lawsuits.
Greg was all over it, and then we're like, you know what? Better would be for people to call in and see what they have. And really the fun of it has been people bragging about what they have, what they hold on to, what they cherish.
Yeah, because a lot of people have called with stuff that has value, and Greg is the first guy to go, nah, you need to hold that.
Well, there's that part of this, which is a ton of fun, is now you don't know, or you've got something that's huge. But there's also, you know, they know. They know if they got something. They want to brag to show what kind of collector they are.
Well, brag it up. 312-981-7200. We're taking calls now. Greg will try to value what you have, or you could call in and just show off at 312-981-7200. Texters as well, and we'll get to you guys in a second. Now, you always bring stuff in.
I try to bring in stuff that people have in their attic or basement that is worth something that they don't think is worth anything.
Okay.
So, this week, I have three great things. One is a Michael Jordan bag from the Chevy dealers from like probably 85, 86.
Like a plastic bag.
Yeah, that's when he first did the Chevy deal.
Yeah, and you know, this is something everyone probably threw out.
It's a freebie.
But it's worth $20, $25 on eBay.
That's like the bag that they put the catalog in or whatever.
Yeah, so they probably might have had these at the car show, and you know, you collect.
So that's a bag like I would throw trash in my car in. It's $25
But it's got Jordan dribbling on it. And
look at that haircut, too.
Yeah, the early 85, 86.
Well, you might throw trash in it, Steve, but some people might be using it to carry their lunch to and from work, you know, reusable sack type people.
Nowadays, right?
Yeah.
Back then.
Whenever I buy clothes at Lululemon, I use the bags later for transportation items.
That's a $40 just for the haircut. Because, you know, we all know Jordan to be hairless, if you will, but there, this is early Jordan when he's got high and tight.
Yeah, and I lucked into four of those at someone at the flea market had. So
souvenir plastic bags, if anybody's got those, 312-981-7200.
You know, obviously that's a kind of just a byproduct. But,
yeah, will you charge the extra $2 for plastic bags since you're inside the city of Chicago?
I should work that out, with additional
I'll
charge.
Take that off your hands, and I'll, every time I go to Target, I'll bring that bag. And be like, can you put that in here?
Yeah. And then I brought in, somebody saved a handful of these Chicago Tribune iron-on back in the 70s. They used to, you know, have these reverse iron-ons, you know.
In the paper?
Yeah, in the paper. And
okay, so this is
So you take a white T-shirt, so you place that over it, and iron it.
We got Dick Tracy, we got Broomhilda, we've got Cub Power, we've got Kmart, Blue Light Special.
I'm a Blue Light Special. With a bulb.
And they used to run those probably every week.
How did they work?
And
were they pretty good?
I have the directions here, Steve.
Yeah. No, I don't mean literally how did they work. I mean, were they successful?
I remember using a couple of them as a kid. You know, so these are like 73, so I'd be like 8 years old.
And the first time you wash your...
Look, there's a shirt and tie.
Right, there's two of those, right.
And the first time, that's when they ran out of ideas, they did a shirt and tie.
Right.
Oh, Pete, you got to see this one.
The first time or you wash it, does the iron-on wash off?
It probably bled a little bit. Yeah, it doesn't wash off totally. And
Cub Power, you going to make that one for me?
Here are the names. Yeah. Cub Power, Coleman and Cardinal, Madlock and Monday, Stone and Swisher. Among the names on that team.
Cardinal. Isn't that Mary's
Cardinal?
Favorite?
Jose Cardinal. Yeah. Oh,
wow, that's a name.
That's her heartthrob.
And Stone would be Steve?
That would be Stoney.
Yeah. Wow.
So a lot of traded players on that.
Yeah. Steve
there's
Swisher.
A Rick Monday. There's a Bill Madlock.
Jose Cardinal was supposed to go to that fantasy camp this, you know, a couple weeks ago, and a friend of mine was going, and he didn't show up, so I didn't get an autograph.
It's almost like the magic is gone between you and Jose.
I don't know what happened.
I don't know either.
He cut his hair. Fleeting. That was the end of it.
Next.
And then I brought, I guess you would call this maybe a synopsis. It's Lyons Township, LaGrange High School. They're bi-weekly newspapers. They assemble them all in one book.
Oh, really?
Well, whatever. 50 cents for this book, but there are ads
in
this
book. And
what
year are we talking about?
We're talking 73 school year.
That's where Wendy's kids go to school.
Yeah, and there are... What's cool about this is there's an ad in here for the first Pong video game.
How much?
And those, just that sheet can go for $15 each. Then there's three ads in here of that. So
how much
$45
you pay?
I paid 50 cents for this book, so $45.
Well, just the memory value for some people, they pay you through the nose for that.
Yeah, someone could pay up for the whole book, but I'm going to piece out the individual ads that are in
Piece out, homie.
Yeah, right.
That book itself, you said there's advertisements in there. Are any of them price-related? Because I always like to look at old ads to see what stuff
there's
costs.
Awesome stuff, because it's 73, you got bell-bottoms, you got the whole style. And everything in here. It's just great to look through all the ads in here.
Like, Sandberg, you wouldn't remember this, but Dave and Mary, you can back me up on this. You could buy a brand new car in 1973 for $6. Remember that?
I bought a new car in 1975 for under $3,000.
Yeah. Brand new.
Brand new.
Yeah.
But it was a Honda Civic.
Still.
Barely ran.
Look at you ahead of the curve, though. Those
still driving it today.
Time.
Was that the one that got lifted in Lincoln Park?
That one didn't. No, I had some other cars.
All right, so we'll come back. 312-981-7200. Call or text in. Preferably call. I'd like to hear your voice.
Yeah, voice is
312-981-7200. Tell us what you've got, and Greg will do his best to tell you what it's worth. Caller's lining up now. Hey, Greg Flamm, where can people meet you, see you, and get their stuff priced?
Well, I'm off right now until Rosemont opens.
Can they come to your house?
Sure, why not? DuPagePicker, gmail.com, or Facebook, or Instagram, DuPagePicker.
All right. Now, before Justin jumps to these calls, what is the best profit margin? Is there a category of something where people... people are willing to give it up, and yet you can take it, buy it, and resell it for a nice price?
Usually garage sales or estate sales, you can get stuff for, you know, 50 cents, a dollar.
Because people are just trying to get rid of it.
Yeah, and, you know, they're trying to empty the house, so they're not too concerned about getting every dollar out of it. And you can take that, you know, sometimes I've made $400 or $500 on that dollar. So
I can tell you right now that I didn't know the plastic bag market was so big. So is there something else out there that we don't know categorically that that falls in the line like that?
You know, I'll tell you right now, Polaroid film. Expired Polaroid film will still get you $25-$30, and a lot of people just think it's expired. I got to throw it out, you know.
So expired Polaroid film,
600, not 700 or Spectra film, the 600 model film will get you a good.
Why?
Money. Yeah, and you know, and it's funny because they still make not Polaroid, but there's other companies that make this film, and so I don't know why.
Aficionados, you know, people who collect that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and what's funny is the battery for that camera is in the film packet. They didn't, you know, you don't put the battery in the camera, so you would think
I that
battery
that.
Go bad.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
All right, let's try some people. Let's go to Dorothy. Dorothy is in Aurora. Dorothy, what do you want to brag about?
I have a 1933. Chicago World's Fair bracelet depicting the various exhibits.
Nice. A bracelet. Where'd you get it?
At the World's Fair.
Wow. Did you buy it yourself or did a boy buy it for you?
No. I was with my parents.
Okay.
Wow.
It's a good story to tell, Dorothy.
So is the bracelet like still on the backing board or is it loose or did you wear it? I mean, that kind
of depends. It's loose.
Okay. Yeah, you're probably, I want to say, like $20 to $40.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You got to keep it for the memory. I mean,
yeah,
that's ridiculous.
She's not getting rid of
that. Right.
I would have said, I would have said minimally $10,000.
I know.
Right.
I'll take that.
Yeah, right.
Thank you for
thanks,
the call.
Dorothy, thanks, you. Dorothy. All right, let's go to Scott. Scott, what do you want to brag about? Scott, what do you got?
A autographed picture of Harold Snepps.
All right. Wait a minute. You're talking about the Harold Snepps?
The Harold Snepps.
From
exactly.
The Snepps family?
I know him.
Bob and Connie Snepps' boy, Harold? Is that what we're talking about?
No. If you're a hockey fan, you know who Harold Snepps is.
All right. All right. Well, we got the heads up on that, so I was able to look that up, and signed cards from him are between 4 and 45. 45 if they're graded in the plastic. You
really?
Know.
He's a longtime hockey player in the 70s, right? So he's be a guy who...
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Is he still alive?
He was an enforcer. Yeah, I think he's still alive.
Yeah, he's a brute.
Well, if he dies, we can make more money off him.
No.
That's the way it works. Ask Greg.
Unfortunately, it does work that way, right?
Yeah, see, I'm just telling you the truth.
All right,
yeah.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks.
All right, let's keep going. Let's go to Jim. Jim's in Gurnee. What do you want to brag about, Jim?
Yes, I have a canning jar in perfect condition. It's marked May 25th, 1886.
Wow!
It has.
Is it like a bell jar with a latch top on it?
Yes, it's a.
You know the one I'm talking about, Greg?
Right, I've got it here. Like $40 to $100.
$40 to $100.
Yeah, and they made them a different color: brown glass, blue glass. So that
1886. It's only $100.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
And, how about the glass insulators from the top of electrical?
Those
poles?
Have taken a nosedive over the years. They used to be worth quite a bit of money. In the last 8 years, they've just come down to where it's like $4, $5.
We used to shoot at those with BB guns.
Yeah,
growing up in redneck country.
All right, nice.
All right, let's go to Bill, who's in Elk Grove Village. Bill, what do you want to brag about?
I have an original cloth-based Cabbage Patch doll that I won in 1982 from the Rick D. Show radio show in Los Angeles.
That's awesome. Still in the box?
Yes, in a box?
Oh, Southland. No, who's up
box,
for a...
I do have the birth certificate.
Oh, you do?
Okay, right.
Hilarious. You didn't braid the hair?
This is Disco Duck Rick D's.
No. She's been in a plastic bag for a long time.
All right.
Did you tell your friends you won it, or did you say it was your sister's?
No. I mean, all of Los Angeles heard me win it. I got phone calls immediately.
That's a great story. The doll itself, without the box, $20 maybe. Mm-hmm. With the box.
What, from Rick D's?
$50.
Didn't you hear him say Rick D's?
Maybe more.
This is Disco Duck Rick D's.
The t-shirt would probably be more. Yeah. Get the Disco Duck t-shirt.
Unbelievable. All right, thanks, man.
Let's try Nancy. Nancy is in Naperville. Nancy, What do you want to brag about, Nancy?
I have two, like, pedestal coffee mugs from the Cup Show. Irv Cup's in it.
Oh, cool.
And
nice.
Says it on one side, and then the other side says WMAQ-TV Chicago and a big five.
Okay. Okay. So the Cup Show, K-U-P.
Yeah.
See the
Irv
play?
Cup's in it.
See the play there?
Yeah.
Cup.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not finding them, but I'm still going to guess maybe $15 for that.
Really? Yeah. Cup's dead. They should be worth more than that.
You would think, yeah.
Dave, is Cup still dead?
I believe so, and the show's been off for a really, really long time.
Yeah, how about if we found Cup's glasses? They were as thick as a coffee cup.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
Thanks, Nancy. All right, last one. Steve, you got a question for Greg. You're interested in one of his items.
Yeah, the Blue Light Special Iron Man.
That's funny. If you want, you can reach me at Facebook, DuPage Picker. We can work something out.
Ooh, a deal. We're not going to do the deal on air.
And we'll come back and we'll talk about it when we work it out. I just don't know right now. I'm thinking I have to be at like $15 on that, you know?
Okay, because I proposed to my wife at Kmart under a blue light special.
Oh, wow, that's hysterical.
You went all out.
we both came from Kmart, and that's where we met.
Right.
Oh, okay.
What about that?
He's trying to sentiment it up here.
You romantic devil.
I did a nice speech over the intercom. Attention, Kmart shoppers. They had blinking blue beacon of bargains is now flashing in the jewelry department.
Nice. What a guy. What a guy.
And that was 33 years ago.
Is she still wearing the same ring from that proposal?
Yes, she is.
Aw, I think that's
very nice. I'm just glad you're still married. Yeah. I thought that was going to
be. You know who doesn't find it sweet? Greg Flam.
I don't.
He's like, the sentiment doesn't mean anything.
Because it's still going to cost you 15 big ones.
Yeah. Write me through Facebook and we'll work something out.
All right. Thanks, man.
Steve. Look at the stone cold.
I am. I have to be.
Teams are far apart in the negotiations.
I'm a softie.
Right now.
I'm sure I'll just mail it to him.
Did you ever give in on an item you shouldn't have given?
You know, kids at the flea market. Yeah, the parents put up the kids. You know, to knock you down.
Yeah,
you know,
we're all soft. Mary's like, "Oh, tell me about the ring, Steve." And I'm like, "That's so great."
Greg looking over him, he's like, 15. I don't care. 15. Okay. Just went up to 20.
That's right.
Show me the money.
Story. I can put that in my eBay description.
All right. So find you on Facebook.
Yep. DuPage Picker, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, everywhere.
Thanks for coming in, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Great to see you. Headlines coming up, 720 WGN. It is 942. That's Ro Khan's love song. And Rose in studio. Now, by the way, do you enjoy these free plugs?
You know what? This is the best deal in all of radio right now.
Right, free plugs on this big-time morning show?
Yep.
So we didn't know if you were coming in or you were on the phone. Would it kill you to return a text?
I just did. Mary, did I just return a text?
3 minutes before you walked into the studio.
You know what that's called?
I had CLTV me hard.
That's a Cochran.
Yeah.
That is a full, but I did the full Cochran.
You did the full Cochran.
Not that's the half exactly Cochran. Right. I hate to be half Cochran.
Our friend at CLTV Fawn that makes CLTV Hour look great wants to know if she's pulling up your picture or if you're going to be live.
And you don't mess with Fawn.
And I'm annoyed. I want to say
Fawn,
something.
Fawn, I'm right here. I just, if you don't mind, if I could just address the camera for just a moment.
Go ahead and talk to Fawn.
Fawn, thank you for all your hard work, and thank you for making this show look great every morning.
Fawn, the picture that you use in the CLTV of Ro Khan when he's on, that's fine. But there is a picture out there of Ro in a leather jacket.
Oh, God.
With the curled up hair, and he's looking like a rock star. AM radio, by the way, but AM radio rock star.
Oh, is that the 80s promo picture we all had to take?
You need to put on the CL when he's on ISDN.
There was a period of time where we all had to take the promo picture with our curly hair. I had curly hair. Don't look at me like that. Our curly hair and our leather jackets.
Mm-hmm. It was the leather jacket was an absolute requirement. You had to have them. We're lucky because we came into radio right after the satin jacket went out.
Yeah.
We were in the leather
phase.
Yeah,
but you know what? I was doing stand-up a lot then, right? So the stand-up uniform, the work outfit... Mm-hmm. was the blazer and sneakers. So there's pictures of me and the blazer and sneakers all over, including a purple Luther Vandross blazer Oh, I looked sexy.
Now, did you stop and you think, if the set really bombs, at least people will like the jacket? Was that your idea?
I thought I was the coolest guy in the
room.
That
but
the
that's
look? What I normally think.
Was that the look at the time, Ro, or were you just making it look nice for the pictures?
The leather jacket?
Yeah,
that, that was definitely the look. Yeah.
You were walking down Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, that
with
was
that
mid-90s, actually, is when that was.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, mid-90s leather.
Were you single then?
No.
Yeah,
I have to. I have to check.
Got to go back to the calendar. Figure out.
I have to think that I was not. No.
Well, welcome. How are
Thank you?
Getting over a cold. I was in mid choke.
I'm. I. You know, I couldn't be better. I did. When I walked in here, with 3 minutes ago, and I threw my cape on the bust of
and your ascot
of Wally Phillips that we have in the corner of the studio. I walked in and I said, you know, people, I really need to buy the cups from the lady who had called in the
swap
previous
meet. Yeah.
And swap meat. And that woman is still listening. Would you call Magic Joe? And that's what
that
I
would
call
be Super Joe.
I call Magic Joe.
Magic Joe.
Would you call
Magic Joe's your weed dealer?
Magic
that's Super Joe.
Well, he is my weed
Ladies
dealer.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage with a little dance, Magic Joe.
Would you call Magic Joe because he's magic to me?
Uh-huh.
Call the Magic Man and let him know, and I will buy. I will buy. The guy said $15.
Yeah,
I'll pay you $50 for two.
There you go.
There you go.
That's
see, this,
sweet deal.
This was the genesis of the swap meet. That's
it's probably got cup DNA on it.
Here's what I want to do. I would like to now take that cup DNA to the University of Chicago, and I'd like them to rebuild a cup.
Oh, reanimate them.
Yes, we're going to reanimate. I want a new cup. I want. I'm going to raise a little baby cup to be a talk show host. To be a football player, an NFL official, columnist, and media personality.
When you were a producer, didn't you do something with him? Am I wrong about that?
No, I never did.
Oh, I thought you did.
You know what? He was one of those guys. I would see him all the time, though. You know, when I was
all
starting.
All right, so that's the point. You can back me up on this. His glasses were thicker than a nuclear reactor to protect the radiation from coming out.
That's right, Jack.
I mean, those glasses were something else.
He had that. He also was gigantic. Because he was a football player.
He was. Yeah.
And he had hands the size of like bear paws. And
yet he was a gentle kisser.
He was. Yes. He was. We had the soft, puffy, wet old man lips. But he, which I always enjoy, but he would call everybody pal because you couldn't remember
anybody's name.
Nope. Hello, pal.
Totally agree.
Hi, pal.
Yeah.
The new version of that is dude. So if I ever call you dude, you know, I don't know who you are.
How you doing? Hey, I just dude. Do that to everybody.
What's up, dude?
Yeah. We still have tapes. I have them back in the office of Cup and Brick doing Bears games. And it's really, I don't know if you ever heard it, Steve, but it is classic.
Oh, it's amazing.
Oh, it's got to be amazing.
It is amazing. Those, huh? You know, the Lincoln Park Zoo used to, their first two brown bears were Cup and Brick.
Yeah, that's right.
That and I didn't even understand it when I was, you know, who's I couldn't get my I would say to my dad or my mom or whatever we'd be at the zoo, I go, why is that one cup? KUP, that's not how you spell cup.
It doesn't make sense.
Don't worry, you'll learn when you get older. And the next thing you know, it's how you doing, pal?
For anybody under the age of say dead, you probably wouldn't know this, but Irv Kupstinet at one point. Irv Kupstinet, I think, before Ed Sullivan. Was Ed Sullivan. He had the biggest show.
Yeah,
everybody
show.
That came through on a train would stop. Didn't he do it at the Drake?
No, he did it at the
Pump Room.
The Pump Room.
Oh, the Pump Room, that's right.
Yes, an ambassador.
And every celebrity in town, and Roy Leonard had that too back in the day, but every celebrity that came through town, they had to do Cup Show.
Yeah, they'd sit
It's such
there.
A smart way to do it because it was because it was train travel at the time, so if they were going from New York to L.A., they'd stop off and then they'd have to do Cup in Chicago.
And that was the big Hollywood Hotel.
It almost became like what Oprah became sort of the Cup of the 90s.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, he did have this amazing career. Never paid for a thing, is my understanding.
He never paid for dinner in the
Didn't pay for a cab ride. Didn't pay for anything. No. Hello, pal. I'll put you in the columns.
Yeah.
And at the end of the column, he always had there was you know the black type, the thick type at the bottom of the column with a bunch of names. You're like, who the hell are these people?
Yeah.
These are all people who gave Cup something during the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how that worked, and it worked out. And he was a really interesting guy. I got to know him at the very end of his career, but his stories were legendary. I mean, he was a tough guy.
Yeah.
Back then, those guys, I don't know, every once in a while, you know, a reporter had to slap you around.
Yeah.
I don't know how that was.
Yeah.
Chicago cops and reporters.
Yeah. It happens. The Cups column started in 1943. We weren't even gangster free at that point.
I would say, no. And you could tell
I mean,
by
that
the first
was before
30 years
the
of the
gangsters
column.
Got into politics.
That's right. Yeah. Want the wish. Al Capone.
Right.
Alphonse Capone, a happy birthday.
Spotted at Wrigley Field.
Celebrating number 37. At the end, you know, his long serving assistant, Stella. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Be sort of your Mary Sanders.
The argument would be
okay. First of all, do not ever call me the assistant.
No, but she took over the column. She wrote the whole column.
Oh, okay,
she did you'd not. Credit for that.
She
for
was
the assistant.
She was. We did call the assistant. She had the whole column. Which why?
Well, the argument was she was writing it for the last 25 years.
Which is why it's an amazing moment when Cup, this 90-year-old man, started only promoting rappers in the 1990s.
Right, it was crazy. It's like Cup has gotten very hip.
Genuine will be at the UIC Pavilion.
You remember the column he opened with? It's getting hot in here, or is it me?
Spotted at Gibson's Nelly.
I know, got it. Okay. It was sort of Sister Soldier will be, and you're like, why is he writing about that? He doesn't know who those people are.
I knew him very briefly in the 90s, and I would agree with you. By the way, somebody just texted us a picture of you that's very compromising. And
this is, of course, not unusual.
Yeah, no, this is one you probably want back.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
It's fine. You don't know if that's a male or a female.
It's you on with a rope on a show bikini.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was a problem, yeah.
It's going to be a problem at church.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's Ash Wednesday. How can you have these kind of photos floating around on Ash Wednesday?
That got run on CNN once, that picture.
Did it?
Yeah. That was a bad moment for me.
It's Rokon pointing at the butt of a apparently a swimsuit model.
No, those are female bodybuilders.
It was, I wondered why it looked like a dude.
Dave, back me up on this.
Yes.
At the old Welsh Ryan Arena, before the new Welsh Ryan Arena, they had a bodybuilding competition, female bodybuilding competition, and I happened to have been invited there by one of the female bodybuilders.
You were the MC?
And no, we actually, you know what, a lot of people, like, you know, Cup used to have boxers.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
You had female bodybuilders?
Edward Doliak used to have boxers. I had female bodybuilders, and I ran a tour of them, and we you know, we're sponsoring one.
Is that why
she put
Rokon Show on her swimsuit panties.
Yes.
It's in sequence, I can tell.
Mm-hmm. That's what it was. And it's, Bill Leff and I. When Bill will be able to back me up on this.
I don't know if he will or not.
I don't think he'll want to.
Yeah.
But he'll be able to, because this wasn't too far from his house at the time. So that was the most important thing.
Were you married then?
I was. I don't recall.
His hand is turned.
I was. Yes.
So you can't see it.
Okay.
You can't
see
him. Anything. It's a real control. He's pointing.
But when this picture comes out, that's trouble at home, unless you've previewed the picture.
Oh, no. She didn't care.
It's a promo.
Oh, so it was already over at that point?
No, the point was that everybody knew what we were doing here. She might have even been there.
It's got the trademark radio guy point thing that people do in photos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The radio people all seem to point to the thing.
If you like this butt, you're going to love my show. Yeah. That's what this...
I think obstetricians do that point at that part of her body as well. It's 8:52. Make it 9:52 unless you're listening in Denver. And we're back in a moment.
I am Hans.
And I am Franz. And we just want to pop your
push it.
We're just talking off the air. Aaron Schock apparently is not going to end up in court any further than the issues he's already had. Breaking news. Let's go live to Roe at Aaron Schock's trial.
Aaron Schock apparently argued to the judge, his lawyers argued to the judge, that there was prosecutorial misconduct because the prosecutors were asking him sensitive personal questions about his sexual status and whether or not his girlfriend was actually his girlfriend. And they are so offended by that that they can no longer charge him with garishly redecorating his congressional office, which I think it all answers the same question, but that's a separate issue.
Right. Now you're profiling.
I did, yeah.
Just because there are some of us that really enjoy that show. I mean, I did my whole house in Downton Abbey, including my man cave.
I liked when he was on Fix Up Your Congressional Office. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Flip Your Congressional Office.
HGTV3. Yeah. Remember
That's
that?
That's when you get a congressional office, you get a certain amount of money, and you flip it.
C-SPAN tried that on the weekends. Yeah. Remember when there was nothing else going on?
He was just trying to sell it. He was trying to make a profit.
Yeah.
Oh, everybody's out to get Aaron Schuck. Yeah. What are you doing today?
Michael Avenatti is going to be here at 3:40 to talk about the unbelievable interview that R. Kelly did with CBS.
Is he back in town or is he on the phone?
I do not know the answer to that question. Okay. All I know is that he will be appearing on the program.
Okay.
Does it really matter to you?
Yeah, it does.
It really does matter to you.
Yeah, it really does.
Okay.
I would like to know the status of all of your guests at all time.
Bill Leff has just stepped into the studio, and I want Bill Leff to confirm for me that you were actually in attendance at the female bodybuilding event with me at the Welsh Ryan Arena in Northwestern University. I hate to drag them into this, but I'm going to do it to create some sort of credibility, where the picture was taken with me pointing at this female bodybuilder's keister, who, by the way, that's a piece of art because it is built to be
like
that.
But it ties into the Aaron Schuck story because you're pointing at what you say is a female behind.
And it's got, and on her bathing suit, whatever it was, costume,
right?
It had the logo of the show.
Oh, right. I remember this.
See?
Yeah. I do remember that.
That makes it okay?
Yeah. Yes. Oh,
right. Yeah. Nobody, I don't know if anyone is questioning how we got to that point. I think that.
Your Honor, I think this ends this trial right now. I have no further questions.
There was a lot of oil in that room, remember?
Yes.
There was a, like,
it was sponsored by Pennzoil, wasn't it?
Pennzoil sponsored it.
They did a winter weight 1040 or 2040, and they covered the girls in those.
But imagine, like, oil in every direction then double that. Like, whatever your mind will give you, double it.
What happened to Gary? You just slid right out of the room.
Well, you slip on the floor when you walk into the stadium. People are going up and down the stairs.
Yeah. Is that why they had to renovate it?
Yes. Exactly right.
They ruined it.
Well, then good.
It's North Zero. It's a Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Zero.
You're out.
You
Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where we'll be next. Bill and Wendy are here, and it's time, therefore, for the Bill and Wendy Show.
Oh, thank you, Steve.
Nothing gets by me.
No. Mm-hmm. Would you have a schedule?
Ro just left the room.
Yeah.
What really happened?
No one wants to talk about it.
Really?
No.
It was a bad night.
Yeah.
It's Ash Wednesday, guys. We stop talking about it. We're getting ashes.
Did
Mobile
you say
ashes.
Ash Wednesday?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what Ro was pointing at, the woman's ash.
Yes.
Mobile
I'm
ashes.
Sick of boys.
Mobile ashes are a thing, right? Where they come by and they.
Well, actually, you go to various spots within the city.
Yeah, but you guys are big shot celebrities. Can't they come here and ash you up?
They are going to.
They are.
And I'm asking for a little takeout container because my boys can't make it for ashes today.
An ashy bag.
I don't know. I don't know if that works or if it counts or if I can give the ashes.
I don't think you can. As a non practicing Catholic, I wouldn't know, but I did hear that the ashes used are recycled from last year's Lent. Is that true?
The palms, I believe.
Okay. Like sourdough bread?
So these are not fresh ashes. Can you request fresh ashes?
Confirm or deny the freshness of the ashes.
I don't know. You're Catholic. I'm not. You're really getting nervous talking about this, aren't you?
I get nervous about this every year because, you know.
Look at how gray the skies are becoming all of a sudden.
By the way, 11 o'clock news, I'm going to come back for the offering. See you tomorrow.
And Amber Tamblyn will be on the air with us.
Oh, good. And Amber Tamblyn. Good.